Most people know that Apartments.com is the most popular place to find a place. That's because Apartments.com has the most rental listings and the most ways to find them. And thanks to some of the most powerful tools like 3D virtual tours. So you'll most likely find your most right place. And I think most everyone would agree that that's good news. Unless you're part of a most peculiar minority of people who prefer to have less than the most. Make the most of your obvious move for your next move. And use Apartments.com, the most popular place to find a place.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Outwit, Outplay, Outlist, the only Survivor podcast that takes all things arbitrary and reductive in Survivor and then answers the question, can we rank or rate them? The answer is almost always yes. Mike Bloom here, filling in the host seat for Rob Cesarino. Usually Rob and I are doing this together, but Rob, of course, if you have listened to the other podcasts he's done this week, is en route across the country, making his big move, quite literally. And so I'm helming this with a really intrepid panel, but I figured while Rob is sort of changing to a new tribe camp, as it were, perhaps on Outwit, Outplay, Outlist, we could commemorate all the times survivors have done that in the past. So for this iteration of Outwit, Outplay, Outlist, we are going to be reviewing some of the most iconic merge tribe names in Survivor history. As I mentioned before, I am joined by two fantastic podcasters in their own right. Their names reverberate through the halls of RHAP even more than these merge tribe names. Of course, let me welcome in the person who has joined me already for like 16 hours to talk about South African Survivor, in addition to all the other myriad Survivor coverage that she does. Shannon Gus. Shannon, how are you?
Hi, Mike. I'm great. I'm very happy to be here to rank something. I mean, this is meant to be the podcast to rank silly things, right? Things that don't really matter. Does anything matter less than a merge tribe name? Like, there's no reason to have it. They're not against another tribe. We don't, like, ooh. Why even have a merge tribe name?
I like that. It's sort of like an extraneous thing. Like, yes, there's a whole naming ceremony, but it doesn't really matter in the end.
Well, they really have to fight to make it matter. And then we'll see, like, the ones that, again, had something creative or something meaningful, probably, or something really dumb, and probably stick out a little more. Because otherwise, yeah, it's not like Jeff is referring it to as a tribe versus another tribe. It is the individual game. They are just people. Why are there merge tribe names at all is what I want to say 2 minutes into this merge tribe name podcast.
I mean, it's a really great question. I think it honestly was one of those Survivor traditions that got grandfathered in just over the years. And we'll talk about those origins. But let's welcome in our third person, because this is someone brand new to Outwit, Outplay, Outlist. We are so happy to welcome her. She actually recently celebrated an anniversary of her own merger in the form of her wedding, the great Sasha Joseph. Sasha, how are you?
Hi, y'all. So excited to be here. I feel like I'm really good at, like, useless, silly things and judging people. So I think this is, like, what is, like, my five hole, I feel.
Absolutely. Well, we're here to serve as the hockey goal for you to, you know, shoot the puck, shoot your shot, as it were. So, yeah, we are here to chat about, again, some of the most iconic merge tribe names in Survivor. It's something that, as Shannon says, has been a part of every single season so far in the U.S. iteration. And they
Not everyone.
39 seasons. R.I.P. Karor. Karor will not be mentioned in this on a technicality perspective. But, you know, it's something that has earned a lot of attention, both positive and negative, based on what the name comes from, what it's after, how lazy it might be. And so we're going to go over something that has been a pretty big hallmark of the show through the years. Before we get into it, though, Sasha, let me ask you, what's in a name to you? Like, is going into this, is there anything you're looking for in what makes a good merge tribe name?
Yes, I think I want it to be creative, like either that, like it's sentimental, you know, tugs a little bit on my heartstrings, or, you know, it's just like funny and I can like laugh at it. So either way, I want it to, you know, have some kind of meaning, and none of these backward names. Like, I'm just not into the, you know, sharing my bias early on.
To be fair, there's only one.
There's two.
I feel like you don't want the Gabon Sands to come for you. I've had it. It's not fun. So just,
do
I think
not
just
invite
like,
that
hate
into
the
your
sand. Yeah. Yeah.
No, don't at me at all. Period. Don't do it.
Well, Shannon, as useless as you might find the merged tribe name, have you gained a certain aesthetic in your opinion as to what does or doesn't make a good merged tribe name?
Well, I think it's important to note. So this is going down as iconic tribe names, right? Not best tribe names. And I think there's a distinct difference because I think a lot of these names are iconically bad, but you remember them. Like if you're going through and doing trivia, one time I had Survivor trivia, so I like went and made sure I memorized every single tribe that had ever existed in their name. And I think I've retained quite a bit of that. But like, if you're going through and trying to remember, do you remember this? Do you remember it because it's bad? Because that doesn't matter because we're doing iconic. So I think it's important to note there are some things that maybe aren't good. And I think everyone knows exactly what I'm referring to. Gabon excluded. There's another one that's really, really bad, but everyone would remember it. It's iconic. So we're going to have to talk about it because that might be controversial.
I'm now intrigued. Like, did that cramming pay off? Were there any
no
tribes on your Survivor trivia?
There was not one question about tribe names because the trivia I had been to before had like a whole thing to fill out. I don't remember what that question was, but it was like fill out a bunch of stuff. So in my mind, I was like, what if they just give us every season and ask us to fill out every tribe name? So I was like, better be prepared for that. And then it wasn't on the quiz.
That's actually the worst.
I thought you were gonna. I thought it was gonna be like some veiled shade towards Twitch Ultimate Trivia. Like there was this one Survivor trivia show I had to do where I memorized all the tribe names and the stupid host didn't even ask about it.
No, this was like bar trivia in Sydney, but in Twitch I just get asked all the second boots. So I for that one I definitely had memorized all the first boots.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's how they get you. Don't cram for things. Just go with it.
Yeah, or you'll score a whole 2 points like me. So.
Doesn't matter. Twitch doesn't matter. Doesn't judge.
We're doing some cramming maybe for some future Survivor trivia players to find out all the merge tribe names. Because that's another thing as well is maybe for me, especially when it comes to modern seasons, like I'm totally with you, Shannon. If you put a Sporkle quiz in front of me and it's like, okay, list out all the Survivor tribes, I could probably reliably get through the first maybe 25 seasons, and then things start to get a little foggy for me. And there's going to be a good amount of merge tribes that actually pop up after season 25 here. So it's not like merge tribes are losing, you know, being up there in terms of status. It's just for whatever reason, maybe it's like the nicknames as well, right? Like David, this started with the Davids and the Goliaths, and then it went to like Vuku versus Jabeni versus Tiva. And then it's like, okay, now I have to add more names onto it. There's only so much this stupid coconut brain can retain, only so much Survivor history.
Yeah, that's what I think the problem was. I think that if Survivor had ended at like season 30, I think I would know all of its trivia, like the boot list in its entirety, the tribe names in their entirety. But now I think there's probably like diminishing returns. Like now we're at 40 seasons. I don't think it's possible for someone to know all that information. There are probably people out there that do. But that's why I feel like I could get probably 90% of the tribe names and like 90% of the boot list. But it's hard when you get there. Like I was saying to you offline, Mike, I covered season 40 in depth. It was a year ago. It's like my favorite season. And gun to my head, I could not have told you the merge tribe name before I looked it up yesterday. But then like, I feel like the early seasons are at this point in their own right iconic just because they were formational, right? Like you obviously remember like Pagong because that's the whole word we've created. And that was true for a lot of the early seasons that just became iconic in their tribe name. So I think the later seasons have a lot to contend with. But I think we have a good mix across the eras here.
Yeah, Sasha, I, to that point, you know, there's been a lot of talk about old school Survivor, especially on the top 40 countdown as of late. In the earlier season, they also really make an effort to like concentrate on the naming of the tribe, whereas maybe in more modern seasons, it becomes like a secret scene or someone tweeted about it. And so now we know what it actually means instead of trying to discern where it came from.
Yeah, I actually like the pomp and circumstance. I think it's cute. You know, it just adds a different layer to it, especially because I always like to think about, well, how did you come up with it? Because as I was doing the research on the tribe names, because I feel like I'm a super casual and I needed to at least, you know, have some background in this, where I was like, oh, I found myself really getting into the story of how they got to the name. And it wasn't just the name for me. So I really like if there is a story. even if it's funny or they're tricking, you know, the people, that's fine. I like it, but I want something. And I think it's like different from the stress of Survivor all the time.
Yeah. And that's an interesting thing as well, is that, so just to clarify again, sort of like what we're going off of. So we're going off of the tribe names. We are not ranking and rating the actual tribes themselves. I think to Sasha's point, I think we can't not involve, like, if there are scenes around the way it's named or, you know, reasons why. I feel like that's associated with the name. But otherwise, we're only talking about like the name painted on the flag, nothing to do with the actual people comprising that new tribe.
Right, because that would be meaningful, and this is meaningless. That's the point.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you, Shannon. That's the point. Mm-hmm. On that lovely note, let's get into this. So, as always, we are going to rank and rate these pieces of criteria, these merged tribe names on our four-tiered scale. So, of course, at the tippy top of things, we have worth playing for. Then on the next tier, my life is fine, usually means like, yeah, it's pretty good. You know, it's not top tier, but it's still fine. Number three is ain't no Hershey bar, means that like it's not great. It's not a chocolate bar, but it definitely isn't the bottom tier. Forget you. Go home, goodbye. Now, of course, these are malleable, but I think we're sort of going to give our initial takes on each of these, try to slot them in a certain order, and then rejigger if need be. So that being said, let's start the way that we often begin these Triple O podcasts. We're going to start with Survivor Borneo. We are going to go to the very first merge tribe name, Ratana. Shannon, give me all your thoughts on Ratana.
Is it iconic? It's like, yes, because it's Borneo, but it could probably be better. I think so the origin of this has nothing to do with rats, right? But I feel it is funny that it has rat in it, because that's the thing that is iconic. For me, it doesn't come to mind as like screaming iconic merge tribe name, but I don't think it's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Sasha, what were your thoughts on Ratana? I know that you said you did some research about how these names came about.
Yeah, so it comes from rattan or rattan, which is a type of climbing palm used exclusively for the production of baskets and furniture. So that seems to be where they got it from.
Wicker.
Yeah, so that's why I really like it. Also, it sounds like a Pokemon, so I'm into it. I like that's it, true. And that's why I remember it, if I'm being honest, not because of its name, but because its closeness to the Pokemon.
And I think that makes sense, right? Like, Pokemon premiered in the late 90s. This was 2000. You know, they really wanted to cash in on that trend. One, you know, multi-million dollar success relying on another one. But yeah, to your point, so from what I recall, it was Sean Kniff and it was Jenna Lewis, right, sent on the special romantic merge retreat. And they were tasked with coming up with a merge tribe name. Jenna said, oh, well, we wanted to do it with about something that was sort of like around us. And so she picked the rattan wood, which, as Sasha said, like was used in weaving and building and everything. And Dr. Sean's input was that he added an A at the end, quote, to sound exotic and add some pizzazz.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Dr. Sean way, right? If he'd named it the next day, it would have been Rattan B. But this we got Ratana. And I personally would prefer Snake Sauna, because that's the way of the world, right? For the Snake Sauna to eat the Ratana. So I don't know if I'm so high on Ratana.
Okay, Sasha, what do you think about it? I know you said you had a story behind it, but what do you think about it as a name with its affiliation outside of Pokemon?
Yeah, I think I would go to like low end, but still my life is fine, because again, I just it's funny and I'm into it. But yeah, I don't know that it's, you know, goat tier at all. Like, it's very much like it's there. I don't hate it. And there's definitely people I feel more strong, or tribes I feel strongly about. So this one, I feel like it's a good one. And it's iconic. I feel like it's the first one ever.
Yeah. And that's the thing as well, as I feel like, you know, they're tasked with coming up with the name, which we get almost every season. But this felt like they were truly putting effort into it. Right. Like, if they had started by calling themselves Tagong, like that would have just set us on a horrible path. You know, we're going to be at least a little bit conservative with the effort until we just completely throw it away in some you know, portmanteau seasons to come. Here they were really trying to like throw things into the market, you know, to have Dr. Sean sort of in the focus group being like, well, can we make this a little more islandy by adding an A at the end? To Shannon's point, I do think there is at least a little bit in there where Dr. Sean looks at that A and says like, oh, wait a minute. That's the first letter of the alphabet. I could do something out of this. So maybe in that way, Ratana is game changing. I will also say we're not commenting on the flags in terms of this ranking and rating that has no bearing on it. But yeah, you could tell this is like a first season of Survivor. Right? Like Shannon, you were on with Rob and I when we talked about immunity necklaces, and you very much got that same thing here. Where like it's so jank, they had to paint the Survivor logo onto Ratana. Like they couldn't even afford a green flag with the logo on it. They had to paint it on themselves, I'm assumingly by memory. So it's you know, it's a nice ragtag bunch, much like Ratan would, right? They're all weaving in to each other, hoping to form a nice basket that they can use to carry millions of dollars and millions of appearances on movies and TV shows for years to come.
All right, here's my argument for why I should drop down to Ain't No Hershey Bar. One, Tagong actually sounds hilarious. And then, like, we're going to get into the portmanteaus, but, like, I wouldn't hate that. Secondly, just adding a random A to a cultural word to make it more exotic feels not offensive to me.
Also, 100% is offensive.
Also, you think about Borneo, and Borneo, everything in Borneo is iconic. They just breathed and it was iconic. But is this... like, it's so much less iconic than it should be for Borneo. Targi, iconic. Pagong, so iconic. But this, like, I don't know if everyone can name this merge tribe. And that's terrible for Borneo because it is Borneo. So for me, this is Ain't No Hershey Bar. I feel like, okay, it might be slightly better than Tagong because that's ridiculous. But I feel like we could have got something better and more meaningful. Like, why Ratan? Why add a random A? Not super into it.
I am fine keeping it on Ain't No Hershey Bar at the moment. And then this is the tough thing with always the first selection is that it can either really go up or down depending on how we feel about the other ones. But if we're talking about a bar, I'm fine setting it fairly low here with Ratana. Sasha, what about you?
Yeah, that's fine with me. I hear you. If it were to be up there for My Life Is Fine, I would definitely still add more ahead of it. So it would wouldn't be the number one in that category. Never.
Yeah, Ratana will remain low level, just like the Pokemon it's affiliated with.
Oh, no.
Speaking of animals, let's actually go to our next season, Survivor the Australian Outback, recently covered on the Top 40 Countdown. We're going to the very next season, and we are going to Barramundi. And correct me if I'm wrong here, Sasha, Barramundi is a fish that is native to Australia.
Yes. Yeah, it's a sea, whatever. Yes, it's, I thought I wrote.
Why are you guys not, like, you don't know what Barramundi is other than the tribe, like what it comes from? Like, don't you eat Barramundi?
Well, so that's the thing.
Asian sea bass, yeah.
Okay. So it's like Sebastian from Ghost Island. He's finally appeared years before. Yeah, I will admittedly, my sort of affiliation with Barramundi, this is how much of a Survivor nerd I am. Like, I did not eat fish growing up because I was a very picky eater. One of the first fish I had was Barramundi because I was like, oh, I know this word. This is a tribe on a Survivor, the Australian Outback. I'm going to try this.
Your parents, Mike. That's just a... Mike will only eat what he sees on Survivor. It's a tough one.
That's not a lot.
It opened up my palate. My entire childhood, I ate skinless chicken that I called pink chicken and buttered noodles with no lines on it. So, like, Survivor opened my palate in so many ways. I can't... Blue all box. The nights I downed Fafaru and Balut. Like, it was just beautiful. But Shannon, as our native Australian, talk to me about Barramundi.
I'm actually not native Australian, but I mean, Barramundi is
resident Australian, I should say.
I feel like this could have been a lot more offensive than it was. Like, Barramundi does sound cool for something that just is a fish. I'm glad, again, that these Americans didn't take it to a stranger place. Like, if they were going to do America equivalent, but for Australia, it would be Straya. That's like America, like Straya. Mm. I'm glad they didn't do that. I think you know, they could have done like the Bula Bula equivalent and made it like G'day Mate. That also wouldn't have been great. Like, as an, I think Barramundi is average, but I kind of want to push it up because of the negative space, because of all the things it isn't that it could have been that would have been offensive.
So yes. Like, it was able to not commit several sins that we're going to be speaking about on this list.
Exactly. Like, if I'm trying to think about ways that this could go for Australia, I think I could have been a lot more offended. I mean, imagine the G'day Mate tribe. That now, isn't terrible.
Now, would they, like, phonetically spell, like, G-I-D-A-Y-M-A-Y-T-E or something like that?
I think so. And we'd be sitting here like, that's not cool. So, Barramundi's better.
It sounds exotic. What do you mean?
Barramundia.
Imagine if Dr. Sean was, like, a tribe name consultant for every season thereafter. He would just be adding A's all over the place, like, putting umlauts above things to make it seem more foreign.
Oh my, as someone that like has been called exotic, I will say, like, I agree. It's very frustrating. So I really like this name. I think it's cute.
Yeah. I mean, is that because it refers to an animal?
Yeah.
Because I think that there are actually very few of these. We're not going to talk about jacare, but jacare, I believe, is it means crocodile. But I think there are actually very few of these that we're going to talk about that actually refer to like a creature, even though a lot of these starting tribes are going to be named after animals.
Yeah, I think Barramundi, it sounds cool without being that cool, and that's a credit to them. So,
all right, so what are we thinking here? So we definitely think, everyone wants to put it above Rotana at this point?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the question is, is it going to go up on Ain't No Hershey Bar, I guess to go along with Colby Donaldson? Is it going to go up in My Life Is Fine? I don't think it's worth playing for.
No, it's not
worth playing for. No, I think, well, again, like Australia, iconic season. You think of Ogrecore, you think of Kucha. Do you think of Barramundi? Like, I feel like these seasons had it like teed up to be iconic. And if it's not like top of mind, that's really on them. But I could put it at the top of Ain't No Hershey Bar for me, or at the bottom of My Life Is Fine.
What do you think, Sasha?
Yeah, I think Ain't No Hershey Bar because, again, like, it's non-offensive. It's named after an animal, which is what... Every sports team should be named after anyway.
Oh, that's actually very true.
Yeah. So that's why I really appreciate it. I don't know that that's the thought process necessarily, but I like that. But I don't know that it's My Life Is Fine.
I am obsessed with this picture. So it looks like a fish has been painted on with Barramundi written in its mouth. I don't remember in the countless hours of Survivor the Australian Outback if they painted this. Did the Survivor team do like a mock-up? Did Eric Reichenbach sneak onto Survivor like 8 years before he was supposed to and paint this? I'm incredibly impressed by this flag.
I feel like that's a story you would have heard if Eric had come here and just done that. But
yeah, little like 8-year-old Eric Reichenbach.
Well, I feel like the show is going to have a profound effect on me one day. I wanted to say it's been 20 minutes into this podcast and Sasha had to say, it's not Forget You Go Home Goodbye because it's not offensive. And that's the bar we're at, where we're like, look, there's a point for not being offensive. That's a little sad to me. But yeah, you've changed my perspective. I kind of like the Barramundis. It's a sports team.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I would put it in My Life Is Fine for that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, so I guess that's another thing as well. Maybe we can do like sort of a separate question as to, would this be a good sports team name? The Rotanas, probably not.
They're getting beat.
I don't want to be named after a tree.
Well, Stanford is, but right? Yeah. I think that's their mascot. But
tree?
Yeah, I think it's the tree.
The Stanford trees?
No, I don't know what exactly it's called, but yeah, I'm into college football. That's why I know this, but it's their mascot is a tree. Like the way the person dresses is a tree.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
I must Google this immediately.
She's right. It is the Stanford tree. don't Google it. It's nightmare fuel.
But. Yeah, it's really creepy. Sorry, everyone.
I'm sorry. I'm immediately Googling the Stanford tree. Oh, Stanford trees? Like, yeah. I would assume like maybe like a worse college tree have the trees.
And didn't Nick Brown from this season go to Stanford? So like he went from the trees to Barramundi.
That's way better. That is way better. Now we know.
Leveled up.
Oh my gosh. The Stanford tree is scary.
It's a real, and it has eyes, right? It's very weird.
Yeah, but the eyes are like not looking in the right direction. It's odd. Like King Cake Baby, eat your heart out. I think we found like a true creepy mascot.
Oh my gosh, this poor tree. Why is the tree like that? Okay, yeah, I'm really watching the video. Well, if you can see.
There's that Stanford tree.
Terrifying. All right, so this is better than the Stanford tree.
Yeah, so that's what Britannia would be like as a mascot, by the way. It would be like a big, weird, exotic tree, I guess, with an A sticking out of its butt at the end. So, yeah, I think Barramundi is a much better sports team name. But let's move on here. The bar has been set, or the Barramundi has been set. We're moving on. We're going to go to season four. Now, this is a bit of a game changer because this is going to be the first of many tribe names that was created out of the ether, just completely pulled out of your rear end from Survivor Marquesas. We are talking Soliantu. Sasha, what is Soliantu supposed to mean?
Allegedly, sacred allegiance to the sun, which I loved. I like these kinds of names. I'm into it, but...
So it doesn't mean that, or does?
I think it does mean that. Yeah, that's what.
But like it's a made up word. They're right, not saying, exactly. They're not saying like, oh yeah, this is from this language. Kathy and Rob made up the word,
yes, okay,
and said that, oh, it means sacred allegiance to the sun. Which sacred allegiance to the sun also sounds like a church that operates out of like someone's farm. So I don't know if I'd like it or hate it because of that.
It's iconic. We don't, not in a good way, but here we are.
So. If I'm going by Sasha's criteria of, is it offensive? Because that's the first question we have to ask ourselves, I think, with every single one of these. I'm kind of offended. I think I am, because you go to a foreign place with its own beautiful culture, and then you make up a word, like do a little bit of research into that culture that I'm sure has its own beautiful words about things that are meaningful. But to make up a word like you, like, why do this? Not sure it's passing the offensive bar that has been set quite low.
I love sacred allegiance to the sun is also like an interesting definition, because we're going to get into some of these made up names, right? And it's usually like new beginnings or like we join across the sea. What is sacred allegiance to the sun even supposed to refer to with a tribe? Like, gosh, we love our sun. Oh boy, we love you, Mr. Sun. Yeah, exactly. Like, and that's the thing. Maybe the exotic is the U at the end of Soliantu. But I guess this also, you know, this will be the first of many times that Boston Rob Mariano, when he makes the merge, will determine a very silly name for his tribe.
Yeah. And I just got back from Hawaii. So there's so many beautiful Polynesian like words or names that can come up. So again, Marquesas itself has like such rich history. Yeah. Shannon, now that you say that, it goes lower for me. Like when you talked about that, because that didn't even cross my mind when I was writing this through. So no.
What? To think about Americans making up a random word that sounds exotic when they have an entire language or words to take from, that would actually just be really interesting. Yeah. Yeah, when you say it out loud, it's not great, is it?
Someone clip that and just play it every time, like someone, yeah, like an American talks. Yeah.
For every tribe. Okay, so that being said, where is Soliantu rising or setting here, in your opinion, Shannon? Where should it go?
Well, I just have one question is, like, they know where they're flying to. Like, they know where they're going before. They had time. I know that it was, like, 2002, but they had time to go to an internet cafe and Google something. Like, they had the internet then, right?
No, well, I mean, remember, this is a season after Survivor Africa, which we skipped over, where they did Moto Maji, which I believe Lex, like, knew the Maasai words for fire and water.
Okay, good. So if that were there, then that's what we would say. Mm-hmm. So they had the time. They had enough internet. They could have read a book on the... So, yeah. So now I'm a little bit like, maybe... Like, if I'm going to say, okay, at least Dr. Sean took it from something, then added a letter. I don't love that. These are all added letters. Randomly added letters to make a word that doesn't exist. So I'm low on it.
Yeah, soul means sun, right? So that's the only word. But again, besides that, I'm not... It's very weird.
I do think it sounds nice, at least. Like, Boston Rob does a good job of making up these words. Soliantu sounds... It just, like, it rolls off the tongue just like sunlight. You feel incandescence coming out of your mouth when you say it. But how much does that bear weight on the scale? Like, I don't know if, to quote Rob Sesser, you know, is it a ratchet tribe name? Are we putting it in the bottom tier, or is this going to be our third Ain't No Hershey bar?
This is going well. Put it at the end of Ain't No Hershey bar for me. I think we could get lower. I think we can go lower together. We can go offensive. We can go worse.
Well, that's the thing. I think what my experience with Forget You Go Home Goodbye is like, when you see it, you know it. You know, like you'll get that feeling of what it is. Right now, we sort of have three sort of middle of the pack names at the moment. That being said, I would not want to play on a team called the Soliantus.
We have the Suns here, the Gold Coast Suns.
Yeah.
The Mets got the sun. It's not as horrifying as the tree.
Yeah, what are the eyes doing on the sun?
I don't know. I can't think of it right now, but they're not, I would, like, the tree will haunt my nightmares, and the sun is not. We don't really have mascots as much, I don't think, but I can't think of the sun haunting my nightmares right now.
That's interesting. So you don't have mascots?
I guess we do.
Yeah, I was like, y'all definitely.
Yeah, no, we do. They don't come around as much. I feel like mascots are more of an American thing. What does the Gold Coast Sun look like? Now I'm looking up all these mascots. I'll let you know if it's horrifying.
This is going to be the next one. Like, we're just ranking mascots.
I will say, so for Soliantu, the tribe flag has a sun above it, and it has, this is one of the first ones, I think, to do like the, okay, each person gets represented on the flag, right? These are supposed to be 10. They're supposed to be palm trees, I believe, with everyone's initials underneath it. In my opinion, they look like gangrenous legs, just pink stubs that are sticking out on the flag. So now I can't unsee that. But, you know, it's at least a step up in artistic effort. It's not as badass as this freaking fish, but it's also not as like derpy as the Rattana.
Mm. Also, the Gold Coast Sun is actually just a mascot of a man, a football playing man. For the people watching the video, because they couldn't make a sun because that would make no sense, like the trees. So that's pretty stupid, but it's not horrifying.
The Phoenix Suns actually are a sun, like on the jersey. So
I want to look up that mascot.
I believe Phoenix Suns are just a sun. Yeah.
Hey everybody, Rob here, just taking a quick break from talking about the greatest merge tribe names of all time to thank our sponsors over at KiwiCo. And unlike a lot of these survivors with uncreative merge tribe names, KiwiCo sends creative activities to your home for your kids to work on that teaches them to be young innovators with super cool STEAM projects to celebrate the end of the school year. Of course, summertime is coming, and I ask my kids, what do they want to do? And it's screen time, more screen time, and more screen time. I say, guys, come on, just because school is out doesn't mean learning has to stop. And KiwiCo is a great way to help your kids stay learning and being more creative during the summer months. Of course, my kids love it when a KiwiCo box comes to the house. They love to put it together, especially my 7-year-old Dominic. He breaks it out. You can help. He does not want help. He wants to go through it. He's got the instructions out. He's lays out all the pieces, and he's putting together the solar system. He's putting together a simple machine that he is now using as a toy. It's really incredible to watch. It was not like that at first, and it's been really fun to watch him grow with KiwiCo, my 5-year-old Anthony. He loves it too. You can cultivate your children's natural creativity and curiosity with new hands-on projects every month. They'll explore new worlds, rediscover familiar ones, even without leaving home. From sailing the solar system to building an animation machine and more, everything gets shipped right to your door. There's no commitment, and you can pause and cancel anytime. As a parent, it's hard to find creative ways to keep the kids busy and screen-free while stretching their brain, especially now. KiwiCo does that little legwork for you so you can spend more quality time tackling projects together. It's something for kids of all ages. And the best part, watching their confidence grow as big as their smile with KiwiCo. There's something for every kid or kid at heart every month. Get 30% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line with promo code RHAP at KiwiCo.com. That's 30% off your first month at KiwiCo, KiwiCo.com, promo code RHAP. And let me get you back to the podcast in 30 seconds. But first, let me thank our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. I bet it can be hard work, but you know, it's easy bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's Geico. Tribe.com. And now let's get back to hearing Jacare placed as the number one merch tribe of all time with Mike, Shannon, and Sasha.
Let's move on here, because much like Soliantu was a game changer, we get yet another game changer in Season 5, latest merge ever in Survivor Thailand. Only 8 people, I think they merged on like day 27. And so maybe it's just because they had spent their time in 2 tribes for so long, they said, you know what? You got peanut butter in my chocolate and vice versa. Let's bring them together. We're talking about Chewy Jai. Sasha, chew on Chewy Jai for me. What do you think about it?
Again, we already talked about this for others, but the original tribe names are actually really beautiful. Like Chewy Gan actually means, right, to help one another. And then Suk Jai means happy heart. They are so, yeah, exactly. And when I was covering Survivor Thailand for RHAP, I even wrote, like, I was like, this is very negative. Let me add some positive. So, you know, the tribe names actually was a positive because I really like them. And then you come and you put them together and make it gibberish, right? Like, what is it? Like, helping happy hearts helping one another. Like,
well, that's kind of sweet.
Oh, I mean, it doesn't mean that, right? That's very much sweet.
I made it up.
That feels like something like your doctor, a pamphlet your doctor would give you when you have high cholesterol. Like, happy hearts helping each other. Don't eat so much red meat, Carol.
This is the Cheerios new slogan.
Happy hearts help each other.
Well, we wanted to put in some of the portmanteaus because we wanted to be like, is that, like, you're putting in no effort to that, especially this one, which was like 2 words of each tribe. They didn't even like combine it into 1 word. Like, they literally, they it couldn't have been less effort.
They got married. Like, Chewy Gan took Suit Guy's last name.
That's good. Also, the Phoenix Suns mascot is a gorilla.
Wait, what?
What?
Yeah. I don't know. The iconic Suns gorilla. I'm telling you, I Googled it.
This is actually crazy.
Oh.
No, that's not. It's
Sun's gorilla mascot.
Oh, because it's a literal sunlight. I mean, the basketball shooting from the sun.
I don't know. I don't like mascot. Maybe, yeah, we will do a ranking of mascot names after.
Please.
Of
course, yes.
It's a long Survivor.
You're right. It is the sun's gorilla. Oh my God.
The tree's still the worst, though. This one, I just feel like, for lack of effort. Mm-hmm. And for ranking everything in Thailand really low, I feel like I'm not into it. You will remember it, though. It's easy to remember it because it is the 2 other tribe names. But yeah. I feel like when I think of Thailand, I'm like, Chewy Gan, Suk Jai, is it like Suk Gan? I knew it was some combination of everything, but I don't know if I could put it exactly as it is.
I'm fine putting it down here for now. The only thing that might give it a little bump above others is that it was the first one. Right, that like they were the first ones to decide, okay, let's smush them together. Unfortunately, maybe that they were then
that's
bad
terrible.
Trendsetters.
That's bad. Like, that's not a bad trend.
But at least it was original to them, right? As opposed to like all these other portmanteau tribes who said, well, they started this with Chewy Jai, we might as well keep going. But I feel like Chewy Jai doesn't necessarily have like the musicality to it as some of these other portmanteau tribes. Others are like marbles in the mouth. This isn't necessarily that, but I don't think it's as smooth as maybe some other ones. Like, I can't come up with a song about Chewy Jai, like maybe another tribe that we'll talk about, which is definitely a mark against it. But I think for like the principle of things, I like keeping it down here for now, because it's just like a slap on the wrist to say, look, you have so much around you. You have been through so much in the game, experienced so much in the wilderness. Why are you not coming up with, like, the season before, they made up a word. Why don't you make up a word? That might be better.
No, we hate that now.
And just taking 2 words and putting them together in a way that really doesn't make sense from a translating perspective.
Yeah, and again, to Shannon's point, Thailand has, again, beautiful language. Thai is really great. And come up with something from Thailand. But I mean, not that this cast is the one that probably would have done it anyway, but still, like, do that. So
yeah.
I think that's another thing we need to add of judging, where it's like, should they have used the local names?
Yeah, it's like the one season in Thailand. Like, I understand now when you're only like 100th Fijian season that it's like, right. All right, well, a lot of the good ones have been taken, but that you have every single word in the entire language. So I think, yeah, the spectrum is make up a whole word, think you're better than an entire culture versus no effort at all, just take other things that also have no meaning. The middle part of that, what I think I'm looking for, what I've found, is things that have actual meaning that from the culture, or at least from like your experience. Like, that's what I'm looking for. I'm also a little bit higher on Barramundi now with all of these not being great. I could move it up to My Life Is Fine. Also, this is looking a little sad.
No, I mean, listen, it's fine. We're setting a bar right now. We might move things up or down depending on the way things go. That being said, Shannon, I think we found something that might tick all those boxes you just listed out, because we are jumping to, of course, Survivor Pearl Islands, and we are talking about Balboa, which, I mean, quite literally, Shannon, everything you described, I think Balboa is able to accomplish.
I was thinking about that. I mean, it's named for Rupert's snake, right? Like, that's the order of that.
Yes, initially, but, you know, Rupert named the snake, I think, partially because of the Spanish conquistador, Balboa. And we know that on that season, like, the tribes were named Morgan and Drake after the famous pirates. So, like, it was in with the theme. I also believe that the currency in Panama is the Balboa. You know, they were given Balboas when they had to trade their clothes and things to buy things. Like, it's both associated with the culture and also associated with the season so far as well.
It's instantly great. I mean, it sounds good. It fits in with the theme. And I think a lot of, like, we also ranked Pearl Islands really high when we did, I think, the immunity idols, because it's such a conceptual season. Yeah, it's so conceptual. Like, it's just like that whole season just feels epic and every single thing hit. And I think Balboa, the fact that it's based on, as you said, cultural things, that it's got story elements to it, that it's thematic, that it's also based on the experience for Rupert Snake, I think almost any Survivor fan would remember this merged tribe name, even with Morgan and Drake being such iconic tribe names in their own right. Like, you remember Balboa too. So hard for me to put this lower than Worth Playing For, because after seeing a lot of meh, this definitely checks a lot of boxes.
Sasha, we kissed a lot of frogs, a lot of fish.
a lot of Barramundis, yeah. But here we are. No, I also really like it. Also, again, named maybe after an animal or a currency at this point. I think it would make a great sports team. I'm playing for the Balboas. So non-offensive, again, we love it. Let's add it up there.
Would that mascot be like a dead snake?
I don't know, dead, but I think it'd be a...
How do you represent a dead snake as a mascot? Does the person go out there and just lie there on the ground the entire time?
Well, snakes also, like, lie on the ground, right? So that's not, like...
their movement.
I think you'd have crosses in the eyes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I would want that job, because then you don't... It's lazy, and you don't have to move.
Yeah, the laziest mascot in sports history.
Yes. Yeah, representing the dead snakes. I don't know how much they're able to rile up the crowd, though. It's like, oh, come on, do something, Balboa. Yeah.
Then you want to be called the basilisk. At least that's a cool snake.
Ooh, yeah, I like that. Don't look directly on the court or you'll be turned to stone. I also wonder, I don't remember if we saw the process of naming the bow, but was this really like, how much do you think Rupert was strong-arming this? Or do you think this is people being like, wow, Rupert, your story really resonates with me. Let's call Balboa. Because I can imagine the people on Morgan are like, well, we had a bird named Pelican Pete. Why don't we name the merch tribe Pelican Pete?
I don't hate the Pelican Peaks as a sports team either.
Well, there are, the Pelicans are
the Pelicans,
team.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know American sports, guys. I'm doing my best. is that mascot horrifying? We'll find out together. What Pelicans?
New Orleans.
Okay, you guys.
New Orleans.
I'm learning so much.
Yeah,
but what do you think, Sasha, with regards to my question? Like, do you think this was like a Rupert choice? Do you think people sympathize with the story?
Yeah, and I think at this point, like, they really liked Rupert, right? Like, Rupert's really giving them a lot of food, you know, like, he's a cornerstone in the tribe. So I feel like what he says has a little bit of weight here, at least in this moment, like, moment in history. I think it's good.
It's an interesting point, too, because this is also unique in that it's technically named after, like, sort of a previous castaway. I mean, Balboa was sort of at one point on the level of Mark the Chicken of like tribe pet. And so it's almost like acknowledging a fallen comrade in that regard. Sorry to the and I would say maybe, you know, sorry to the outcast, but the outcast had a chance to come back into the game. And so I'm sure they were not very keen on naming a tribe after one of these people who, you know, got voted out and then came back into the game.
We also have a Dara tribe later on. Imagine if they just start naming tribes after like the whole Pearl Islands cast. The Rupins.
Yeah. I'm the Rupert tribe.
The Sandras? The Sandras would be great. Well, someone definitely name it. Yeah, Sandra. As a merge tribe name, I think would be great.
I think if Sandra had made the merge in Winners at War, they would have named the merge tribe Sandra. That's my personal belief.
Why do you think that would have that? She can definitely never win or get to the end. They named the merge tribe name after her.
First boom. Like merge. First merge boom.
She'd be like, how many wins do you have? How many wins do I have? Thank you. Call it the Sandra tribe.
We would be talking about it on this list, and spoiler 100%. Alert, we're not going to be talking about the season 40 merge tribe name, so they did worse with it. I also want to say Pierre the Pelican, cute and not horrifying mascot, so tick on that. This is great. I think Balboa is a great merge tribe.
Yeah, listen, as someone who has eaten snake recently, I feel very connected to the soul of a snake.
Awful. So that could have been Balboa.
It could have been. So I feel a little bit of Balboa inside of me tonight in this Chili's. And so I feel it's top tier for many reasons. So let's keep going on this Rupert bandwagon here as we dig this log cabin deeper and deeper. We're going to go into Rupert's next season, the very next season, Survivor All-Stars. We're going back to the portmanteau, folks. We're going to Chibogamogo.
I don't know. I think it sounds fun. Like, I feel like this is a good song, or like it'd be a fun dance that I should learn when I go to somewhere, you know, like the limbo, you know, to me, it sounds kind of like that. But outside of that, I'm not into it. I'm not a fan of like merge name, like portmanteaus. I mean,
merge names.
Merge.
Well, this is a unique one, Shannon, because this is like a trinity here, right? Because we have Shapara, Saboga, and Mogomogo. Even though Saboga went the way of the dodo, the way of the Balboa a while ago, you know, they still decide to acknowledge it here with Chibogamogo.
I think they do that in Kageon too, right? That's another like trio.
Yeah, Solarion.
Solarion, yeah. Mm-hmm. But look, the combined names aren't great. I agree. Very unoriginal. And you have now stolen it from Thailand. So it's not even... Again, even a bad concept that you come up with yourself. In saying that, I do feel that Chibogamogo is—it's hard to say because it's Chibogamogo. It could like, but
oh yeah, there was a long time for a while that I thought it was Chibogamogo, and they just like completely erased Chibogo from the narrative, and they just decided to go Shapara Mogomogo.
That would sound better,
yeah.
But I think this is a polarizing one because yes, it is a combined name, and we don't really like that. But it does have the song and the dance, which I feel like could be almost like a TikTok dance that people could do. Don't you think? Like
the Chibogamogo challenge.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do it, but
someone come up with it.
Yes,
Send
us that TikTok.
Well, because I think Survivor's made its way a little bit into TikTok. I'm not up on the TikTok, but I do believe there was something in like people are doing mashups of a dance from the Backyardigans to music, and someone did one to like the Survivor Borneo theme, and it's like caught like fire. So maybe the next step is to have the Chibogamogo song back up people's TikTok dances.
Mike, you've never sounded older when you said, I'm not up on the TikTok. Okay. Okay, Grandpa.
TikTok for me. Oh, my God.
Is that the right preposition? Up? There's also a really fun naming scene here, right? Because for people who don't remember, I think it's Alicia and Amber, and maybe Jenna Lewis is again trying to show her naming prowess, and they're trying to figure out, like, okay, what's the proper mashup? I want to say they first land on Bogomopera, which is awful, awful.
That sounds like a bad car, you know, that like had to be recalled or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The steering wheel fell off of that Bogomopera. We have to take it back to the shop.
Yikes. Okay, again, so then you have to reward the negative space. You have to reward what it's not. I think a lot of people are very attached to this tribe name. I think they sing it in their head. I think a TikTok dance is coming. So I think there are some combined names that kind of work. And this is one of the two. For that, I would put it... I want to put Barramundi now in My Life is Fine and put this behind it in My Life is Fine. Barramundi's not sitting right for me with all of these others. At least it's a word that exists. Like,
so
that's what...
So you put Chibogamogo above Rotana and Soliantu.
I would.
What do you think? What do you think about that, Sasha?
Yeah, I don't know if I agree, because then I feel like Soliantu should be above Rotana. And then maybe, I don't know, because I feel like Soliante should not be this low anymore. But also, I don't like this song. I made it up in my head now, a song. But I don't like the tribe name at all. I think that who came up with the tribe names before, like, they should be getting all the props, because the tribe names are really good. But the merge tribe name is just, I don't know. I think it sounds weird. And I feel like I sound very, I don't know, very American, but it doesn't flow off the tongue as it should.
Yeah, so I would put Chibogo Mogo in at least Ain't No Hershey Bar. I think that I think that maybe it's the song, maybe it's the fact that it's not Bogo Mopera, the car with square wheels, but I think it at least belongs in Ain't No Hershey Bar. But I agree, I have a tough time sorting between these four at the moment. I think it might go above Soliantu, but Soliantu, at least they try to mean something with it, right?
They made up a word. They made up a fake word. It doesn't mean anything. Like, you can't just make things up. I guess it's a bit like naming a child.
Yeah,
people
exactly.
Just like make up words that don't exist. And I guess, but like, I don't know. There's also a cultural element of this to me, which is like Americans coming in, any Western people coming in and just being like, I know you have a whole language, but we've made up this word.
Isn't that the whole point of Survivor? Like, I feel like it's very...
But I don't want to have to wrestle with that. You know, like, I just want to blame this one thing and not think about any of the broader problems with that.
Valid.
Because I can't right now.
Well, that being said, Shannon, I'm going to throw you a bone here, a fish bone. I agree. I think we should move Barramundi up to My Life is Fine. Because I think the more I look at it, the more I'm like, yeah, this actually ticks a lot of those boxes that you mentioned before that maybe these other ones don't.
It has some meaning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now the question is, where does Chibogo Mogo fall at the moment? Because I don't think it's in My Life is Fine. So where does it fall among these three?
I feel like, Sasha, you feel more strongly about it.
I know.
I'm
really
just bowing to internet pressure.
The more I hear y'all say it, the more I'm into it. I will say that. So I think that should get points. Because reading it, I'm like, whatever. But the more I hear y'all say it, the more I'm like into it. I'm getting into it. So maybe it does need to be number one in this category currently.
That's what it is. It's all in how it sounds. Go. Like, that's you have to do the song. Like,
you have to do the song. It has a wand off with it already.
Yeah. So please send us the TikToks because everyone gave it a better ranking.
The Chibogo Mogo challenge. We'll find the audio of when it was being named and then drink your milk or whatever you do on TikTok to the. Do they drink milk on the TikTok?
On the TikTok? Stop. You know it's not the TikTok. Stop it. You are still young.
No, Shannon, you called me pushing 40 a couple weeks ago.
And you've really proven that correct today.
Yeah, like, exactly. I'm just steering into the curve here, unlike the Bogo Mopera, which flips over three times when you take it around a corner.
All right. I'm not close to 40. Also, Mike, I'm not up on the TikTok. Come on. You've really proven me right.
All right, so now we're going to skip ahead a few seasons. Again, past Karor, which is technically not a merged tribe. We're going to go actually from Portmanteau to Portmanteau, but I know this one was actually shouted out by the aforementioned Jordan Kalish as one of the portmanteaus that he really likes. As Shannon says, completely understandable because this is from Survivor Guatemala. We're talking Jacum, which is a portmanteau of a Yasha, second part, and the second parts of Yasha and Nakum. The uniqueness, Sasha, I believe this is the only tribe in Survivor history that begins with an X.
Yes, it is. And I just like the name, period. Yes. Like, period. It's amazing. I would want it on a shirt, right? Like, I think it's marketable. I really like it.
Yeah, we can analyze the offensiveness of things till the cows come home.
Yeah.
But then you just want to say, Jacum. Like, it is really, like, they combined Yasha and Nakum easily in the best ways.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, instead of Yana.
Yanu. Yeah. Yana.
Yana, yeah. But I also like Jacum because it sounds a little bit like Jacuz. Jacum, the idol is definitely not on the ground. Jacum, you lied to me, Judd, about the idol. I think it's a fun phrase you could throw out at a party if you want to.
It makes me want to point at people. Jacum! Yeah, it's good. Sounds good.
It's got direction to it. I mean, I might argue this might be, I don't know. Let me throw out this question. Is this the best tribe portmanteau name ever?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. It is. Because the second best is probably Shibogomogo. And we just debated at length that it's probably pretty average. So. Yeah,
and it's got a lot of, things to it that would make Sean Kniff's neck hair stand on end, right? It's got the X to start off. It's got the accent, aigu. With the U. So like they're trying to really embody the culture, because that was also, I think, the first time they used accents in tribe names. And it comes out with something just like really fun to say and really unique in its own regard, even 29 seasons after it came about.
Yeah. I also like that the tribe color is red. I think that adds to the tone of how you should feel when you see it. I know we're not ranking the colors, but I feel like this really, it's just a great package.
Yeah. I kind of love how we spent a long time being like, portmanteaus are bad and lazy and also meaningless things. I assume this is meaningless.
Yeah.
I could not be rewarded. But then we're like, Jakum. And that's the effect that it has. It makes you not care about all that stuff.
It's the exception to prove the rule. It's the black sheep of the family in that regard. So from that perspective, where does it go?
I think... Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Shane.
Well, no, I could put it in worth playing for. I don't know. But maybe I'm just... The bar is so low right now.
I'm good putting it at the top of My Life is Fine. Yeah. At the moment. Like, I commonly talk about how Worth Playing For, I feel like, has to have that, like, je ne sais quoi, Jakus, if you will. And I don't know if Jakum gets docked a little bit because it still is a portmanteau. I don't know how I feel about putting it on the same tier as Balboa, which feels so creative in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
That's valid. Yeah, I think I would want it either, really high there or Worth Playing For, because again, I want to say it all the time and I'm into it.
All right, so we'll keep it here for now, and maybe depending on how the rest of the competition stacks up. We still got, we're what, like seven in, and we're only a third of the way there. Let's move on. We're going to jump a few more seasons here. We're going to go to a familiar location, not too familiar when this season aired, but we're going to Survivor Fiji, and we are going to the merged tribe Bula Bula, which I guess I should have said to greet you all on this podcast. But Shannon, give me your thoughts about Bula Bula.
I mean, I don't feel like it's super creative, but I also feel like it is, like, if you go to Fiji, you're great at the airport with Bula Bula. Like, it is the Fiji season, as long as it's called Survivor Fiji, and not, like, all the other ones that are just in Fiji. It's native to where they are, it's based on something, it has meaning, and that clears a lot of the low bar that we have set. It's not offensive, I don't think, which is great.
Yeah, I agree, Shannon, because I also wasn't sure. I was like, is it, like a chai tea situation because I, as Indian person, I hate chai tea. Like, I hate when people say that. It's stupid. You sound dumb. You're saying tea twice. Like, don't do it. So that's why I was like, is that what's happening here? Because then it was going to be and forget you, go home. But then I think it is just that's how Fijian people greet. So then it's not offensive anymore. It's not annoying.
Yeah, but listen, if RuPaul can say hello multiple times, why not Fiji? That's what I always say.
Or Vaughn on Community, who always says goodbye three times. I think that's what it is. So I think, it's just like a greeting. I don't know if it's super meaningful, because it just is like hello, right?
It literally is like saying hi. Yeah. Which, I mean, maybe, I don't know, does that encapsulate something on a more meaningful deep level, right? Like, you're saying hi to new faces. That's essentially, this is one of the first times that a tribe name means like bringing together or whatever, instead of like, I don't know, sacred allegiance to the snake or whatever the Soliantu version of this would be.
Oh my god. Yeah, and I think I like that it is, you could honestly also say like, we're bringing in a new experience for ourselves. We're saying hello to a lot of new things. It's individual immunity time, all of this. So if we're really getting that deep into it, we're giving it a lot of gravitas.
No. Okay. They knew one word. They were greeted at the airport with Bula Bula. They knew one Fijian word. But honestly, good on them for using that word and not making it one up. And you say goodbye. I say Bula, Bula Bula. So I think it works.
Yeah, and that's a hit song from the Boodles, right?
Yeah.
All right, so where does this go, Sasha?
For me, it's Ain't No Hershey Bar, but I'm not sure where. Would love y'all's thoughts. Like, I don't know where.
I would say at the I'm thinking either at the top or below Chiboga Mogo, because Chiboga Mogo, again, if we're talking about iconic, Chiboga Mogo has sort of become iconic in its own regard. Maybe it's just because we have been to Fiji so many times that it's almost like Bula has lost all meaning. But like, do we also give it credit for being the first one in Fiji? I'm not sure how to feel this one.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I think both of these tribes, if you were to ask most Survivor fans what was the most tribe of these seasons, they could tell you. And then, and that's what makes it iconic, is that in trivia, you could get it.
So what do you think? Should we put it ahead or behind of Chiboga Mogo?
I think ahead, because at least it's not a portmanteau.
Yeah, at least it is Fijian.
Yes. All right. Bula, say Bula to Ain't No Hershey Bar tier. This is where you hang out. The All-Stars have been conquered by Fiji for maybe the first time ever in Survivor history. We're moving on to the very next season, Survivor China. We are talking about Hai Da Feng, Black Fighting Wind, I believe is what they're intending to go for, Sasha?
Yeah, right. I think it was it's like this black fighting wind, which is very bad Chinese tattoo, like as in you really tried it and you thought that you were going to, you know, have this amazing, beautiful tattoo. Because I see this a lot with Hindi words as well, that a lot of, like Adam Levine has one. I think David Beckham, like they also have these Hindi tattoos. And I was like, that looks crazy. Like it doesn't mean as like deep as you want it to mean. And that's 100% what I feel this is. And getting a little appropriate-y, I feel. So I'm not into it.
Like, what does it actually mean?
Black fighting wind.
Is that a thing?
I believe the story was that, so the tribe color was black. So like, okay, we want to incorporate black into the name. And I think they asked PG, like, what's a cool phrase? And she's like, well, Da Feng means fighting wind. And they said, all right, perfect. We'll put them together. So it makes no sense.
Oh, no, another portmanteau. What?
I believe also it literally translates to big black typhoon.
Oh, I don't hate that. Big black typhoon.
Oh, I hate it. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, you're right. I'm like, as I said it out loud, I was like, maybe I do hate it.
That sounds like, I don't know, like the ubiquitous fantasy antagonist in like a YA novel, right? Like, we must escape the big black typhoon. It's taking over our village.
Wasn't big black typhoon COVID? Like, that's what.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that sort of sounds like it's like a pandemic.
Yeah.
Well, then that's. That's the triggering. So
wow, Survivor China called it all those years ago.
Yeah. And I would say, again, with PG on your team, like, they could have come up with a better name. You had someone that spoke the language. I don't know. This was very miss for me, I feel.
I love the idea of the bad translated tattoo. That's great.
I mean, that's essentially what it is. So what do you think, Shannon? What are your thoughts on Hai Da Feng?
Well, now I can't see it as anything other than the tattoo, which is, I was coming in to be like, look, it's something, it's a tribe name I remember. I didn't know what it meant, which is on me. So I don't know. I could put it in Ain't No Hershey Bar. Again, a lot of these, I feel like we have pretty strict criteria, and it is hard not to be offensive. I guess we are asking a group of Western people to name something without Google in that moment, that maybe they've forgotten things. And to do their best with it and make it creative and make it have meaning. I still think that they, you know, the tribe should have succeeded more than they have based on our list so far. But I guess it is a difficult and possibly offensive task.
Yeah. I mean, I guess what I like about it is it's unique. I think it's the only tribe in Survivor history so far to have three words in its name, which is pretty cool. I like that they were trying to make it cultural. Though you would think, like, they were given the art of war. You think, like, go back to that, maybe do something with that,
or ask PG, right? Like, I guess PG did name it, but I feel like it could have been better than Black Fighting Wind, like, or Black, whatever the literal translation I keep forgetting is.
Big Black Typhoon.
Big Black Typhoon. Yeah, it's weird. Like, I feel like PG could have really made it into something cooler, not to put all the onus on her, but I'm saying use her as your Google people.
I'm imagining the sports mascot that is Big Black Typhoon with the scary eyes.
I'm sure. I think the typhoons definitely are mascot. I don't know which one, but hurricanes obviously might.
No, I'm here for the BB team personally.
There's a Hurricanes team?
Yes, Miami Hurricanes. Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. Like it's tough because I do agree. Like the name makes absolutely no sense, but I kind of, I don't know. I like it in that regard. Like what is fighting wind? Is that a hurricane? Is that a typhoon? Technically, like bad winds, it's fighting you in that regard, or are you fighting it? We're physicalizing natural forces here, which I find intriguing. There's a little bit of mystique to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Miami Hurricanes is an ibis. I don't know why.
Oh, interesting.
What the heck?
They've really taken some leaps with these mascots. So maybe that's
those are really linked. Exactly. When you think of when you think of hurricanes, you think birds.
Shame. They don't come out well, I think, with hurricanes.
You know what? If they would have dropped black from this name, it actually would have been a really great name.
Yeah.
Because
typhoon is cool.
Yeah. And I think all of that is really beautiful. And it actually is taking in a lot of the local language, all of that stuff. So that's why I'm into it. But then adding this random character just really makes it a mess for me.
All right. So where do you think, Shannon? So you thought Ain't No Hershey Bar?
Yeah, that's where I would put it.
What do you think, Sasha?
Yeah, I would say Forget You, Go Home, but I like the idea of like the wind and like really making that into your tribe name.
I think they tried. Yeah, I think that actually blows Hai Defeng out of Forget You, Go Home, Goodbye. Now, that being said, how does it compare to something like Soliantu or Ratana? Because I do think these are sort of like Ratana, at least, is in the same territory, right? Of like, let's try to turn something, a part of the culture, into a tribe name.
Yeah. I mean, I just feel bad that they really did put in the effort. Like, it didn't, like, I would feel bad for someone who had the wrong tattoo. Like, yes, it's their fault, but also, haven't they suffered enough? Like, should I also be judging them? Like, they have to live with it, you know?
100%, you should be judging them, but maybe meaner than you are.
That's good. Okay, I'll judge them in the future, but I don't know, they tried their best. I would put it possibly somewhere in the middle of this tier.
Let's I mean, at least higher than, that, because after they really just made it up.
I think we should put it above Ratana. I think that what Dr. Sean contributed with that one letter is massively outweighed by what PG contributed with the translation of Fighting Wind. Maybe it's because I also just want to see the pretty badass nature of the drawings of the dragon and the tiger on the flag compared to, you know, this is like the wish.com version of a Survivor logo, essentially, with the Ratana flag.
They were trying their best. It was season one, Mike.
They were season one. I got to give them a little bit of slack. Now, let's talk about the next season after this. We're going to get into like a streak of Survivor merged tribe names. We go from 14 to 15 to 16. You all knew this was coming. We're talking Dabu.
I like the idea of a tribe, like people like joking and playing and messing with the tribe and being like, this is what this really means. And I don't know, maybe I'm a troll in life and that's why, but it very much could be. But I think it's funny that it, like, and you remember it because like you trolled them and came up with this. So that's why I feel like it's pretty iconic. I don't know where, maybe my life is fine. I don't know that it's worth playing for, but I think it's so funny that it was a troll on all of them. And Eric, I mean, you know, really got trolled at the end. And
Was that karma from them being like, well, you decided to name the tribe Dabu?
Was not good for you, but
Dabu is not good for you, exactly.
Because he's claimed that it means good. And I like, you know, the all women. Like, I know we should not be talking about the season, but it's so hard. That's why I think it's fun. I like trolls. I think it's good.
Well, speaking of trolls, Shannon, we should also mention there is some real life implications behind Dabu. Eric did not just come up with this word out of the blue. He's
out of the Dublu.
Out of the Dublu, exactly. He has confirmed in interviews after the fact that Dabu is actually a term from World of Warcraft.
That's funny. That is really funny. Because I was going to say that the joke's on Eric being like, huh, this word doesn't really mean anything. It's like, yeah, but other tribes also don't mean anything on purpose. So, like, that wouldn't be enough of a troll for me to just be like, this means nothing. But taking from World of Warcraft is really funny to me. Because like that has meaning to him, and that makes it more important for me. I do think the fact that he was like, it means good, and they were like, okay, like he said, he could have said it meant anything, and he was like,
yeah,
good.
Again, going back to what you want to name your tribe after, I don't know if good is good. If you're like, all right, our tribe means good.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I made a store called Good, where I would get my brother to do drawings because he's good at art, kind of like a sweatshop, and then I would sell those drawings to my grandparents, to Rand, and the store was called Good, because in my mind, when I was six, I was like, it's good.
Oh, I like and that. Also, it was very transparent. It was like a WYSIWYG, right? Like, what you see is what you get. Like, is the store good? Look at the sign, pal. It's good.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess the Micronesia tribe, take away the whole troll of it all. They also were like the same as six-year-old me being like, it's good. But I don't know why if Eric could choose anything to make up what it meant, you could choose any fake word and you went with good. Why? And they accepted it. And I love that. That's what makes it funny. And the fact that it's from World of Warcraft is better for me. Yeah, that's great.
I mean, let's say, especially, you talked about how much you love the trolling. This is from a literal game that has trolls in it. That has how much it is trolling right now.
It's very meta. I like that.
So,
but I also think if it were a standalone by itself, like as in someone was like, we should name it Tabu because of, then I think it would be lower ranked. But because it's like a troll, that's why it's higher. But yeah, because good is stupid. Like it's not.
I mean, all that being said, I think this is top tier. Personally, I think I think this is something you remember. I think it has a connection to the season. And also masked around someone trying to connect it to the culture, right? It's very meta in that regard. We're solely onto, it was just sort of like, wow, this word sounds fun. This was Eric deliberately saying, oh, they name Survivor seasons after cultural touchstones.
Well,
I'm going to pretend I'm doing the same thing right now, but actually I'm not. I feel like it's transcendent in that way. And I think that Dabu is one that I certainly have never forgotten. It's a fun character moment from Eric as well, especially given your point, Sasha, about how he is not necessarily shown as someone to get one over on others. In fact, quite the opposite. I don't know. I've always loved Dabu and the story behind it. And I do think it's worth playing for personally.
I do think that Eric was giving tribe names too much credit to be like, I'm going to troll it. It's like, honestly, a lot of them troll themselves. Like, you don't have to be doing that. But in saying that, completely memorable. I think, again, if we're talking about iconic, most Survivor fans remember it. They remember it for the story, the fact that it is baked into the story, the fact that it is a cool character moment for Eric, who is the super fan, who's doing this thing that I'm pretty sure he's the first of the trolls, right? The first of a couple. Like, Boston Rob is going to end up taking this from him. And that is, like, that's a game-changer move. So I think even being the one, like, the trolling will come up, but he was the originator of even thinking to do that as something like Steven tries to do in the future and it doesn't go well. He puts this in. I don't know if other people tried before that it didn't work, but he has credit to this whole idea of trolling the tribe names. And for that, I do think I wouldn't put it as high as Balboa because I think Balboa just hits on every level, but I could put it in worth playing for because it gets a lot.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Sasha?
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, and I also, I don't think you can see it from what you two are watching, but listen, it's also should be mentioned, maybe I'm also a little influenced by the fact that Eric Reichenbach's, like, YouTube channel and company, right, it's called Dabu Doodles.
That's cool.
It really is, like, something that he has taken into his life.
Yeah.
But speaking of Eric's artwork, I mean, I'm so happy he made the merge in both of his seasons because, like, he just draws incredible artwork. This is almost a Solion too, right? You see the sunrise above this valley. There's a shark here. And I also love at the top, for some reason, he wrote 2007 to 2008, like it's some sort of yearbook. I'm not sure what the rationale is behind that, but I appreciate the creativity on it.
Class of Dabu.
Yeah.
Also, we could get a jingle for it, like Dabu D, Dabu Die.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there we go. Dabu D, Dabu Die.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. In some camps, they believe the lyrics are, if I was green, I would die. So maybe the green is affiliated with that one. But yeah, congratulations to Dabu making its way up to worth playing for.
Wait, is it not if I was green, I would die?
No, it's just Dabu D, Dabu Die.
It's literally gibberish, but I agree with you, Shannon.
Oh my gosh.
That. I thought if I was, I'm blue, if I were green, I would die.
Yeah, is that not the song?
No, it's just Dabu D, Dabu Die. That's what Eiffel 55 wrote, whatever the band name is that wrote that song.
My mind is not the only mind being blown right now. Reach out to me, other people thought it was definitely if I was green, I would die.
No.
Surely.
I looked up the lyrics because I was in an argument and I always have to be right. And I was wrong is the point.
Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry that happened to you.
I know. Hard day.
Well, Sasha, it's not going to make it easier for you because we are moving on to the name you mentioned before. Drop your buffs, drop your bag. We are talking about No Bag from Survivor Gabon.
Talk about fumbling the bag, right? Like, it's just so meh to me. I know other people will love it. And you deserve your love. I'm not here to yuck your yum, but I literally am. So, to me, it's like, I think because people remember it, I'll keep it and ain't no Hershey bar. But it's lazy. It's lazy.
Sasha, I just want to say qualifying is not going to help you with this dance. I'm so sorry. They're coming for you anyway.
First hand experience.
This is not the first time this happened to me, so it's okay, I guess.
I literally called Gabon as a season the epitome of subjectivity and said that my opinion was irrelevant and still the stands. Every single time that chart of like the seasons that I've recommended comes out, it's just, anyway, it's a running theme. But I think there's so much with No Bag. Like, I don't even know where to start with No Bag. The fact that, yes, it's backwards, but also that it's Gabon backwards. Like, if you were to have, like, I think they were saying this at the Patreon group, like, even something like Amazon would be like Nozama. Like, well, that sounds pretty.
I'm so glad you bring this up, Shannon. I did a little bit of research here. I'm going to read to you some Survivor seasons backwards, and let's see if they would do well as a merged tribe, especially compared to No Bag.
You better do David versus Goliath. I want to see you try.
Oh, no. I mean, that would just be a smattering of syllables and consonants. So as Shannon mentioned, Amazon is Nozama. That might be one of the best ones, but it does sound like a prescription drug.
May cause death.
Yeah, exactly. May cause your camp to burn down. So we have Nozama. To your point, Shannon, I went with more of a modern season. Winners at War, Raw Tasrenu.
That should be like a food that you find like in a like interesting cookbook that you're like, I really want to, I'm not going to name a country because that's disrespectful, but you know, it's like, you know, I'm going to go to this like exotic, as we've used on this podcast, country. That's going to be the dish I want to cook from there.
Yeah, but you can't cook it though. You have to serve it raw. It's raw tasrenu, not cooked tasrenu.
Exactly.
You can have
because you cook out a lot of it's like it's really juicy elements, right? Otherwise, when it all comes out in the edit, and then you're just left with like a mess by the end of it if it's cooked. So leave it raw.
It's still on the pan on another island, or you know, in another.
Yeah, state. Exactly. Like, no, transport from the pan to a separate cutting board. Leave there for like 30 days. Put it back into the pan for a hot second to finish it off. That's how you make it. Toss renew.
Yeah,
exactly.
We talked about this season before, but IGF for Fiji.
IGF. That's bad. Because I actually think it's IGIF.
IGIF? Oh, I don't know. Exactly. Thank you for bringing up that argument again, as if that didn't take up the majority of the chat that was going on during the last playout list that we did.
No, I was going to say for that one, because you were like, I want to say Jeff, and you were very, very adamant. You kept saying Jeff. No one else did it. Chappelle and Rob completely left you on your own with that. But you were committed, and then at a point, you stopped.
At a point, I decided to cover all my bases and just started saying all three interchangeably throughout the podcast.
That was on you. Sure, I told you decided before you went
on. If I'm a little bit wrong all the time, then at least I'm not a lot wrong selective amounts of time. You know, like the math turns out well. Marquesas actually turns out well. Sasukram.
That sounds like, right, what do you do right before a test you haven't studied for?
Yeah, what did Shannon do when she had her Survivor trivia? She Sasukrammed.
Yeah. I like it. It's terrible, but it's great.
It's so bad.
Much like No Bag, it's terrible, but it's great. Much like Gabon. It's terrible, but it's great. Please don't, guys. Gabon is so subjective as well. I just want to qualify.
Samoa, Aomas, which is definitively a Lord of the Rings character, but yes. I like the affiliation there. Yeah.
A lot of these are better than No Bag.
Let's see. Token Sheens, Snitnikot.
That's not better than No Bag.
That sounds like an actual language.
Yeah, no, that sounds like some like a place where Eomas is like the mayor of. He's the mayor of Snitnikot, where the dwarves reside. Let's see. Panama, Aminap.
Yeah, Aminap's cool. That was one of the ones.
What it calls to be like a man app, Amon app, Amon Adwin shout out, or Aminap.
Aminap. I didn't hate that.
Or Aminap, which I like to do a lot.
Aminap. Yeah.
Aminap. Oh my God. I love
that. That's what I'm doing after this podcast. Aminap.
And then finally, from Cagayan, of course, Nyagak.
Ooh, yes. Yes.
Don't hate it.
So that being said, no bag. Yeah, I mean, listen, it's no Rautus Renu, but it's certainly no Nyagak. So the question is, where does it fall, though? I mean, it's this weird circular thing for me that happens a lot with Survivor Gabon. And like, it really does. I know we are just rating the names, not the season, but like, God, it really imbibes and it just represents the season, right? Like, it is so weird and it is so dumb, but it's also like so interesting to look at in that regard that they said they took the name of the season and put it backwards and name the tribe, but also the name backwards happens to also be like a phrase in English as well. is just completely mind blowing to me.
Phrase is a strong word. Yeah. Two words that work, I guess. No bag.
I mean, listen, yeah. If you bring your own bag to the store and someone's like, oh, okay, can I pack this in paper for you? You say no bag. Like, I've got it. You know, I think that it's a phrase.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely sums up Gabon in that it is so bad that it's good, maybe, or you hate it. Though it's like then that's where you're at. So I don't know. I think if we're ranking on iconic, it's so memorable.
Yeah,
for maybe for bad reasons, and every Survivor fan is getting this right in trivia because it's again its name is no bag. So
here's
it made it easy.
The only thing I will say, my last comment about this, is that they just got lucky that they happened to be on Survivor Gabon. You know, like, it isn't something, you know, for this name.
Well, I was just saying, like, yeah, if they're playing in Cleveland, are they still going to call it No Bag?
Oh my God. But, or what's the opposite of the Cavaliers, right? But, or Browns. Anyway, but no, it's just, yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's just lucky that they happened to have Gabon and then they turned it around. So that's another reason why very lazy, very happenstance.
Yeah, I mean, the scene that it's named is pretty much like Kenny's just wandering by and he's like, hey, No Bag is Gabon backwards. Like, it's very much out of Troll 2, right? Nilbog is goblin spelled backwards. And apparently they just rolled with it, which again is Survivor Gabon. Someone suggests something that just makes absolutely no sense, and then you're like, cut to it somehow ends up being accomplished, and you say, how the hell did we get here? That's Survivor Gabon. That's No Bag to me. So I feel like being iconic, I do think bears a lot of weight here. I think it's at least gotta be in My Life is Fine, but I can understand if we don't want to put it in Worth Playing For due to the objections that Sasha put out before.
I would have preferred Banjo, like B-A-N-G-O, and then they could have had like a thing, like a song.
Well, then it'd be Bango.
Bango.
Bango also is good. Again, everything is better than No Bag, y'all. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I don't know why. Again, like, and were there not better cultural things to say? Like, almost definitely yes. And did we give up on that for No Bag? Like, the fact that Kenny was like, Gabon backwards is No Bag. It's like, right, but No Bag is like a meaningless thing.
So yeah, he figured that out when he like had a mirror out and was looking at the his buff in the mirror or something. I was like, oh, this is fun. This is funny.
Yeah, my friends and I used to do when we were in like the fourth grade. We'd be like, what's your name? Oh, now let's try to say it backwards. Like, it was a thing we actually did. So it actually reminds me of that in school where we'd all write each other's names and then troll like our teachers and like write out our name opposite. So my name was like Ahasas, which is like a different but interesting like Indian or Hindi, sorry, Hindi word. So
it's, I'm Nonas.
Yeah.
I like that. What are you?
I'm Ekim.
Yeah. Become like a Pokemon too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Joining up with Rattana, we're going to fight against each other. Yeah, so I will propose putting it in My Life is Fine.
Yeah, but we have
what
to.
Do you all think about that?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it needs to be there.
So where does it sit amongst our fish and our marriage here of Nakum and Yasha?
You put in the middle, maybe?
Yeah, I agree.
All right, yeah, because I do feel like the iconic aspect of it might push it above Jakum, but Jakum is also just a better name than Novak.
So much better.
It really does lay out like quality versus iconic.
Yeah, exactly. It gains points for being iconic, it loses points for being Novak.
Exactly.
I'm also confused as to they did like the little kid thing where the B is painted backwards, but none of the rest of it is. Like the G is not painted backwards. Why?
Just did not care. They just did not.
Unless, could this have been a sign from the editors that the winner begins with a B?
I think that's a lot of credit.
No, well, there was an infamous thing back during Survivor Marquesas where for one shot at the Rotu camp, there was a shot of the Rotu flag backwards. And so people thought that like, oh, Nalia's name backwards is Helen. Therefore, it's hinting to the fact that Nalia is going to win because it showed someone, the tribe, you know, the Rotu tribe backwards. So again, wouldn't put it past Survivor fans to look at this and be like, oh, clearly this must mean that the B has something to do. Like they're going to Robert Brown or Robert Langdon the shit out of this. Dan Brown the shit out of this if they like look at any sort of mismatch or glitch in any sort of tribe flags or cinematography.
Yeah, I'm gonna put myself in this camp and just say maybe we should all go outside. Okay.
Listen, I don't know about you. I have a secret allegiance to the sun, so I don't mind going outside.
I'm in lockdown, so but no guys, there's nothing. It's just no bag. Couldn't be more meaningless.
I love it. I love it so much. Because again, it's like, and I'm so glad it's never been replicated since, right? Like, we talked about how Dabu is awesome, but, you know, does it lose a little bit of luster because there have been other, you know, names and that we're going to be talking about? But No Bag really stands on its own. No one since has said, let's take our tribe name and put it backwards, especially in Fiji, where they kept just, you know, repeating the Fiji again location. So they had to put themes in the name of the season. So, like, I don't know if they would have allowed them to put millennials versus Gen X backwards.
Snag.
It would have started with an X, much like Jakum.
Mm. They made it hard.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, let's move on here to, of course, Survivor Heroes versus Villains. Iconic season of Survivor. After much debating, including deciding between the Hillens or, as Jerry would recommend, just the Villains, they decided to go with Yin Yang. Sasha, give me your thoughts on Yin Yang. What balance on the side are you on this?
I know we're not supposed to go with the season, but it actually works with the theme, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I really think that it's heroes versus villains. You know, it's the Chinese philosophy of like describing contrary yet complementary forces, which is why we like this season, is because our heroes versus villains come together. So because of that, I do think that it is either top Ain't No Hershey Bar or bottom My Life is Fine, because I actually think it's a nice word. We know the word, you know, it's like part of language now, just like karma or, you know, like these other words that are kind of just part of our vernacular, whatever you want to say. So that's why, I don't know, I like it. It's not offensive, I feel.
Yeah, I would put it quite high. I think it's iconic. I think it's something that all Survivor fans would get in the trivia quiz. I think as well, they had a hard task because they had English tribe names.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't even like other tribes where they have kind of both. They end up giving like a, you know, beauty, but also you have a different tribe name. So they had to give it something that, while it isn't Western, is understood kind of in Western circles because they have Western tribe names. And it does make sense because it's like, yes, in every hero, there's a villain and vice versa. It's not as binary as we thought. And that's why we've merged. And I think it works thematically for a very theme heavy season, for an iconic theme season. I would put it high. I think I would put it maybe in worth playing for. Maybe I would. Maybe.
Interesting. I don't know. I don't know if I put it in worth playing for, because I think I really like it, but I think if you ask me, like, what are some of the top, you know, merged tribe names, I don't know if Yin Yang is necessarily
not as creative.
Yeah, I think it's really strong, though, to your point. I think it's also really meaningful in that also, if you're talking about the great balance, I mean, we did merge infamously with five heroes and five villains, right? So, like, even from a numerical perspective, things were completely balanced as all things should be. So I'm really glad they went with this, especially over the Hillens. I just feel like that would have been, for such an elite season of Survivor, it would have been a disastrous thing if they just...
It would have been to get you go home goodbye.
Yeah, if they just went with a lazy portmanteau of two English words, especially, right? Of like, yeah, oh yeah, these are English tribes. We'll just mash those words together. You know, I am someone who attempts to make too many puns in the podcast, and like, I have barely have a good batting rate. This would not be good. This would be a swing and a miss on this. So I really like Yin Yang. My question is, Adam Klein, giant Survivor fan, his first season of Millennials versus Gen X, he called his and Jay's relationship the Yin Yang. Do we think this was a reference to that at all?
No, because I think like Yin Yang is like, I think the thing about it is that it is bigger than Survivor. Like when you think about it, you probably think about other things. It's like, it's not like these other tribes where if you Google Soliantu, it's all that comes up because it's nothing. Mm-hmm. Whereas for this, if you Google it, Survivor's never coming up. But also if you Google heroes or villains, it's not coming up. Like that's what they were given. So I like it. It's not as creative, but I would possibly put it at the top of My Life is Fine.
Yeah, what do you think, Sasha? Where does this fall in My Life is Fine for you?
Yeah, I also think top or maybe top two, because as y'all were talking about it, I was like, this could actually be a really interesting essay that you could write about this season, and you could base it on the idea of the yin yang, right? And like, if I'm teaching a class on reality TV, like this is what I'd want people to get deep and think about reality TV moments. So that's why I feel like it's even higher, but maybe that's like me being almost academic. But I like it.
I love the clinical approach to the use of yin yang in Survivor. When again, they were milliseconds away from calling themselves the Hillens.
Right. But you reward that negative space because they're not the Hillens. And that's what we're here to commend.
Exactly.
All right. Let's move on here. We've mentioned it so many times. Unfortunately, Boston Rob does not make the jury on this season, or the merge even, to give be a part of yin yang. But he was definitively a part of this next tribe. Of course, we cannot talk iconic merch tribe name, Shannon, without talking about Merlonio.
Never forget that Boston Rob took a trick from Eric Reichenbach and that he copied Aaron Reichenbach. I love that part of it. So Merlonio was like Amber's stuffed animal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So he said that it's an inside joke between him and Amber, where Amber has a series of stuffed animals. And according to Boston Rob, Merlonio is the ringleader among them all. But he claims to the other people that it means it's Spanish for from the sea united, which, again, given the term he came up with Soliantu, like he really likes to take these like inspirational poster phrases and turn them into nonsensical words.
Yeah, at least this one, he's like, it's meant to be a troll. So Leontia would just, it's fine that it's not a word. But I think the trick for me isn't as funny, because how will they know that Merlonio, like, it doesn't sound bad. It's not something from something else, like Dabu was from World of Warcraft. Like, it's a stuffed animal, but they can't know that. I would have admired the troll more if it was, like, Amber backwards and they never realized, because then it's like, you guys don't realize that, help me here. Remba. You don't remember
Remba. Like a dance.
Yeah, like that's what, like, obviously we're gonna talk about Anila Dumb. Like when you look at it, you're like, all right, that is Madeline backwards. So like, how did no one realize that the whole time? They are getting trolled. Like they're getting trolled by Dabu because it's this thing that exists. Whereas like Malone, you're like, how could they have known that? Like that's Amber stuffed animal. They're not part of that.
But that being said, this is such a ridiculous thing, right? Like Anila Dom, at least as a shout out to Malcolm's mother. This is a shout out to a stuffed animal, something that has no life, is now being like the name of this. Granted, that was also Balboa too at the time that it was named. But I think that, you know, it's just a ridiculous thing that like Amber's Whoopi has now made its way into the season and has become the title of this merge tribe that also consists of not only Boston Rob, but 11 other adult individuals.
That's why I like it, and that's why I'm into the troll again. But I agree, I don't know that it's a Dabu level troll, but I still think it's funny. And how do they, again, I at first would be like, is this like something with Boston Rob, you know, with his last name? Like, that's where my mind would be thinking. Mm-hmm. But I'm not like food and sleep deprived, so I have to give them that piece. And then his like track record with Solana too also like gives him, I think, a little bit of like coming out of the air with some words. So mm-hmm. I think he like kind of played himself, and I think it's more funny to him and Amber than it is to us. But I still like the troll, and I don't know that it's a forget you go home, but I don't know mm-hmm. that it's like top tier either.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think maybe it's because, you know, Boston Rob's magnetism. I think he built this moment up more than Eric did. Eric just sort of did it as a throwaway moment, and he's like, oh, you know, I could have called the tribe Momo or Faux Shizzle, and they still would have gone along with it. Boston Rob, because it's Boston Rob in his fourth time out, is like milking this, right? He's like, I can't believe this. This is just an inside joke that I have going on, and now these maroons are going along with it. And so I do think the Merlonial moment is bigger than Dabu. But how much weight does that bear?
Well, it's the same as No Bag in that it epitomizes the season. Like, No Bag epitomizes the season because it's stupid, dumb, but kind of fun. But Melonio epitomizes this season because it's just Boston Rob tricking people for no reason and thinking it's hilarious and mugging for the camera. So it really does sum that up. Like, when you can get a merge tribe name that packs all of that in it, that's impressive.
United from the sea. What the hell does that even mean?
At least he didn't say it meant good. And everyone was like, oh, my.
Yeah, he lied then. That's the other thing. Maybe it's because, you know, Boston Rob had a lot of advantages coming in on his fourth time. One of them was he knew how to name a good tribe. Like, has to be unification, right? Unity. And so he decided to say, okay, we're united from the sea. Here we come, all the fish people crawling out of the water as a tribe. This is what the flag is, right? It's a bunch of fish. And so that's what Boston Rob is doing right now. So, yeah, I mean, if you're basing it on iconicness alone, I think it might be worth playing for. But I could understand if, like, No Bag, it gets bumped down due to it, like, you know, not necessarily being the strongest of names. Right. I don't know. How does it compare to No Bag, in your opinion? I guess that's sort of a good place to start this conversation.
They're both bad and good. But No Bag is more iconic, so I maybe put it behind.
Yeah, I agree. All right. I also think, Shannon, now that you said, if you would have said Amber backwards or something, I think that would have been much higher for me. Instead of like,
I feel like they would have worked it out. Even the Redemption Island, which surely would have been like Remba. It's only five letters.
No, for sure. But I just mean, if it was something like a little bit more like, oh, it's right in front of you, why didn't you get it? Instead of a stuffed animal. That's why I think it loses points there.
Hmm.
Yeah, Remba maybe would have been an easier way to obscure it. Just like repeat it enough times and it loses all meaning.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, so we are going from 22 to 23. Much like the Redemption Island aspect continues, so do our discussion of the tribe merge names here. We're talking about the merge tribe name from Survivor South Pacific, Tetuna, which you would think on paper like, I don't care. It's about a fish. But there's an entire story of folklore linked to the name Tetuna.
Yeah, about the origins of a coconut tree.
Yeah, so I actually have the story. If we want to settle in, children, I can use this. Grandpa Mike has story time here. Get up your TikToks and film this one.
I'm going to get Merlonio and settle in for my bedtime story.
Ooh.
Exactly. All right, so here we go. This is the legend of Tetuna. So this is taken from Wikipedia directly, but on the island of Savai'i in Samoa, one version of the legend tells of a beautiful girl called Sina, whose beauty was known across the Pacific. This beauty reached the Tui Fiti, or the king of Fiji, who was older than Sina. He took to heart and decided that he shall see to what the fuss was about. Using his mana, or magic, he transformed himself into an eel and went to the village of which Sina resided. As he got to the village pool, he saw the beauty that is Sina. However, when Sina looked into the pool, she saw the eel staring up at her. Angry, she cried, "You stare at me with eyes like a demon!" But quickly, Sina noticed that the eel was very nice and made it her pet. Years and years had passed, and the Tuifiti grew old, and with it his magic. He had grown weak and decided to reveal himself, explaining to Sina that he was once the king of Fiji and had come to see her beauty, but knew that he had no chance due to his age. He had then asked Sina to plant its head in the ground. Sina followed the eel's request and planted its head in the ground. A coconut tree grew from the ground. When the husk is removed from a coconut, there are three round marks, which appear like the face of the fish with two eyes and a mouth. One of the marks is pierced for drinking the coconut, and hence, when Sina takes a drink, she is kissing the eel.
A lot in there. A lot of bestiality stuff going on. And that's cold Ted tuna?
So tuna is Samoan for eel. So it's saying the eel.
That's the name of the story.
Yeah, so well, the story is basically, it's called like Sina and the Eel. Yeah, and so tuna is Samoan for eel, and so it's not named after tuna the fish, but in Samoan it's referring to the eel that ends up dying and becoming, I guess, the fertilizer for coconut trees.
And they thought of that as what made it their tribe name, that story?
I mean, listen, this is a season with Coach Benjamin Wade. Of course they thought of this story.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. That's a lot. That story was, you know, definitely very interesting. I look forward to it, to seeing it on Disney in like 3 years, because that seems to be where they're going.
That's the thing, is actually for all you Moana heads out there, I do believe in the you're welcome. Like, doesn't Maui, I think he has a set of lyrics, right, about like planting something.
You know, I buried its guts, sprouted a tree, now you got coconuts. What's the message? What is the takeaway? Don't mess with Maui when he's on a breakaway. Why would you of course, if you're going to mention the rap, I'm going to do the whole rap.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing. That's what that's the legend that it's referencing. Right,
oh my
now.
Gosh. Well, now I'm more into it.
Exactly. Lin-Manuel Miranda watched season 23 of Survivor and said, like, wow, I got to include that.
Nothing would make me happier than to know that's true. I do think Tatuna, though, just like where it sits in Survivor, not as iconic. Like, I think if you were trying to list a bunch, this wouldn't hit a top 15. If you're like you'd get to a bunch before, you would get to Tetuna, but maybe not now that I know it has Moana ties.
Yeah, see, that's the thing is, Sasha, I know I personally was not thinking of including it until I found out that it was based on a story, because I think that just
because you're a storyteller and that's what you do.
Exactly. Yeah, there's the good guys, there's the bad guys, the yin, the yang. But I think that, you know, this is, I think, the only tribe in Survivor history that, like, comes from a legend. Back in the day, Jeff Probst used to tell tales. They told a tale in this tribe name.
I agree. I think you have to do so much homework for this name to be iconic. I think that is, which I like, and I'm into it, and I loved your story. And I actually just got back from Hawaii yesterday, so I heard a bunch of these stories. So I feel very passionate about this name, but I'm also being honest that, like, without all this homework that I needed to do to get to this name, I think it's almost a little bit forgettable.
Yeah, but in saying that, we've also chastised tribes for not having meaning in their names, and this has so much meaning, and that's a lot. They tried so hard, and it has a whole legend behind it. Should that go behind No Bag just because you remember No Bag 50 times more?
I think it should be an Ain't No Hershey Bar personally. I agree that I think without the story, it's in Forget You Go Home Goodbye, because it's just sort of like, what is this? There's no explanation behind it. To Sasha's point, it requires a little bit of extracurricular work, but I think that it does stand up. I mean, I would put it in along the same lines as, like, I would put it personally at least above Ratana and Soliantu, in that, like, this is an actual
Haidafung
word.
Yeah.
I think I put it above Haidafung as well. I agree. I think that, again, like, we don't know anything about it on screen, but it's an iceberg. There's a lot underneath the surface, including amorous eels that die of old age.
But do we have confirmation that it's connected to the story?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, all right. Because otherwise I'm like, maybe we're just taking leaps. But all right, I like the story. I like that I learned something today. I like that I got to rap Moana on the podcast. So
again, checks all your boxes of what you want to do on every single podcast you come on to.
Yeah. One time I did write a Tony version of You're Welcome and send it to the podcast. I don't think it ever got played, but I think it was for Game Changers, and that rap was so good because it was like, honestly, Sandra, I could go on and on. I could explain every event in Kageyan. I'm really proud of it.
If only it was
you have to, yeah, you have to perform it now, I feel.
The whole rap?
Yeah, you should do it on the TikTok.
On the TikTok, yeah.
Get it up on the TikTok while you're drinking your milk and that's crumping good. Or whatever they do.
Oh my God. Crumping is so wrong. Crumping doesn't exist anymore. Oh, I think.
God. No, I don't think it does. I think it's twerking now.
Yes, the twerk.
All right, so let's move on to the next one. And you invoked Jonathan Penner before. Let's bring him back here for Dang Rain in Survivor Philippines. Sasha, what do you think about Dang Rain as a tribe name?
I hate myself that I love it. Because
like it's Survivor fan's tale. I hate myself that I love it.
Because I just, again, sounds like Game of Thrones character. Or sorry, not sounds, looks like, reads like the Game of Thrones character. So I was like, I like it. You know, I feel like it's like, oh, I'm going into Survivor. I'm a warrior, you know? Like, I have all these amazing things. And then, yeah, it's like, Dang Rain. So I'm mad that that's the name. But I also think it's so stupid and so funny that it just, it works. I don't know why, but it works.
Because they try to call it something else, right?
Penner has claimed that they tried to call it Effing Rain, but he didn't say F. But the producers would not let it happen, so they decided to make it PG, tribe ever.
This reminds me of, like, so when we were in high school, did you guys have this? We had, like, year 12 jumpers, and we'd have, like, a nickname on the front?
Is that sometimes, like, varsity jackets, right, where, like, you get your nickname on it.
That's what kind of what it was. And everyone would try and slip through like R-rated names, nicknames. Mm-hmm. And the teachers would try to cash them. And always a few would slip through because the teachers wouldn't get it. So I do wish that Effing Rain got through and no one realized, because that would have instantly gone to the top of this. But I do think as well, like, Dang Rain is funny. The fact that they couldn't get the F word, so they're like, Dang Rain. Like, dang is such a hilarious way to, like, admonish something for me. And it looks like it's something meaningful, but it just is Dang Rain. It's based on their experience because they had so much rain.
Yeah.
You definitely remember it. Everyone knows the origin. Yeah. Everyone could get this in trivia. This might be top for me. That maybe Balboa, I think, has meaning beyond this, but I think
I agree. I really like Dang Rain. I also like the fact, Shannon, you know how much I love rearranging, you know, letters. This could also be the name of someone, Dan Grain. Some sort of like crime author. I feel like this might be my pen name if I ever decide to start writing like paperback airport novels. I'm gonna be under the name Dan Grain.
Nice. I love this. Yes.
Yeah, so I agree. I think it's gotta be top tier because I just love it so much. Like you said, Sasha, like, it's stupid, but it also represents the season, but also the way they did it. They did it as one word. They did instead of R-A-I-N, it's R-A-Y-N-E.
Yeah, they
did like a tongue-in-cheek exotifying of it. Not like Dr. Sean. They were just like, oh yeah, we'll sort of slip it under by saying, this is a one-word Dang Rain, but actually it's something that we yell up to the clouds each and every day.
For Dang Rain. I love that. Downpours
to us. I love Survivor Philippines. I love Dang Rain as well, because it's also just like, these people are just fed up with everything. They have to deal with the rain, they have to deal with Abby Maria, other things like those. It's Dang, really Abby. At the top of the list. Dang Abby Maria was a close second.
Yeah, I mean, they're having fun with tribe naming, and that's good, because as we've seen, it's a tough thing to do. Like, you might as well have fun with it. And I don't know how far they could have pushed it. Like, could they have just made it like, I hate this? Would they have been like, no, you can't name it that.
I hate this.
Like, at what point are they, like, how much? Because we're getting into interesting territory where production will be like, no. So how far do you have to push it where production will veto it? I think they came up with a great balance. I definitely want to start using Dang more. Dang lockdown. I love Dang. Dang Grain is great.
Yeah, I really love it. I also love the fact, I really agree with this idea of going to Dang, because you could put Damn in there, but maybe they just thought, okay, if they're nixing all swears, that's, we'll great. Go to like what you say when you stubbed your toe in front of your 3-year-old nephew, of like, dang,
dang table.
Yeah, exactly. Dang coffee table. It's great. I love it. The sunshine is smiling upon Dang Rain. We mentioned it before. let's go to the very next season.
Wait, are we just putting it there? I would put it above
Dabu. Yeah, above Dabu for sure.
You think above Dabu? Okay, yeah, I'm good to put it above Dabu. All right, Dang Rain above Dabu. And so the tears are crying down onto Eric Reichenbach like Dang Rain. And that's the other thing, too. They could do a great parody. It's like Dang Rain in the Philippines. Like, it's right there for you. Put it up on the TikTok, everyone. All right, we're moving on. It's mentioned before, season 26, Anil space Edom, Malcolm Freiburg's mother's name backwards. Sasha, I know you love the trolliness. How does this rank for you on the trolley scale?
It's both, right? We get the trolling, and like, it's actually kind of cute that it's his mom's name. You know, you can't knock moms. So that's why I was like, I would love it. Like, if I were to have a child and they were to go on Survivor and they, you know, somehow put this, tribe Asas on there, I would love it. So I just think that it's funny that he got it past them again and was able to like make this name. And it sounds, again, quote unquote, exotic.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, Shannon, that Malcolm was able to get this past the person who did exactly this the first time.
Yeah. Wow, that's a sad state of affairs for Eric, isn't it? Like, that's uncool. He's the one who created this thing, and now he's being got by it. And again, it is that perfect name where it's not Remba level of, like, clearly this is your wife's name. And obviously everyone knows that Rob's married to Amber, but like, does everyone know Malcolm's mom's name? It's a kind of thing where
nobody knew who Malcolm was, right? Because they filmed these seasons back to back.
You think he lied about his mom's name so they could get this through? Otherwise people might have realized.
Oh, my mom's name's Joan. I'm not going to call it Nauj.
It's smart because he made it two words. If you look at it for long enough, you realize it's clearly Madeline, but you might look at it for 20 days and not realize that. So it was a good middle level. What did he tell them that it meant?
So he said that it meant new beginning.
It's funny. It's funny that he did that. And it's clearly his mom's name.
Well, he was the new beginning for his mom. So maybe it does make sense.
Mine would be Assel. My mom is Lisa. Would people get that? Assel.
Ooh.
Assel. Because my mom's name is Lisa.
Yeah, I guess Assel, I don't know. It feels too short. You know, I guess it would be like, again, I think what Eric did a good job with good was saying like it was a 1-to-1 comparison. Yeah. Right? And Malcolm does a good job here with new beginnings, 2-for-2.
And Neil, new beginnings.
Yeah, where Merlonio, again, feels a little weird is that it apparently means like an entire sentence in one word.
Yeah, doesn't really work, does it? It's funny that he got Eric. This is good. This is Dabu.
Yeah.
How Dabu is it, Sasha? Where are we putting Anil Edom here?
I think my life is fine. Or are we wanting to go higher? I can't.
I can take it higher.
Yeah.
You would be worth playing for? Why?
Because I think we put Dabu there and the fact that Eric got caught by this.
Right.
I would put it one behind Dabu. Obviously, he originated it. But I think Malcolm improved upon it with something like, again, Dabu is from World of Warcraft, but most people in the world won't know that. So it's like, how much are you getting someone? How are they meant to know that? That's an unfair playing field. This is clearly Madeline backwards. How after a few days were they like, is that not just Madeline backwards? Like, I feel like he got them the most under their nose. It's the best troll of the three, I would say, because it is so much like, anyone could have worked that out. I'm not sure if they did. And the fact that he got Eric back for being Eric's thing, I think is pretty interesting in Survivor history. And I also think iconic, anyone would know Anil Edom.
Yeah, I think you make a lot of really great points. I would agree that I put it still behind Dabu because I think you got to give credit to Eric for being the first one to do it. But I think you make a lot of good points as to why Anil Edom, despite, you know, for many reasons, Kara Moen sort of being an inferior copy of Micronesia, like this still stands up, at least by in comparison.
And the fact that, like, again, yeah, it does come up in another fans versus favorites. There's like some history there that I think is cool. Yeah, I like it. Malcolm did it. I like Malcolm.
All right, let's move on here. Unfortunately, we do have to skip Blood versus Water in another universe. Apparently, according to R.S. Bishkauskas, the merge tribe name would have been Taite Waite, but that was nixed by production. They somehow found out about it.
Oh, God.
That would have been worth playing for.
I would have been worth, and then some. I would have made another tier for Taipei Waitei in so many ways. But we're going to move on here to another one. I'm going to move on to Survivor San Juan del Sur. I'm going to talk about Huyopa for a couple of reasons that I didn't initially pick, because I thought this is just another portmanteau. But I picked it for two reasons here. First, even though the season took place in Nicaragua and this is just a mashup, apparently they accidentally stumbled on a word. Huyopa in Tagalog means to smoke pot. So, and also, I completely forgot about this. The tribe name slash flag has a goddamn hashtag in it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's the part I remembered when you added this on. I didn't remember anything else.
So what do you think, Sasha? What do you think about Huyopa?
San Juan del Sur, I think this is when like hashtags were like getting, you know, when you were actually saying hashtag, like Jimmy Fallon and Justin Timberlake did that whole the hashtag. So I feel like it works in that moment, in that time. I don't know the actual timing of it, but I feel like
it was late 2014 that this
right
happened.
So I feel like
what a time.
Yeah, that maybe does work with the actual saying the hashtag peace out loud. So very like on brand for that moment, I feel. So that's why I like it. But I don't know. And now that you told me it means pot, I think that's funnier and that raises its stake a little bit higher. But do people remember this one besides the hashtag? I guess that's my question.
Well, you remember it because it is a pretty easy portmanteau of two like iconic names. Napu and Cleopa, I think, are two tribes. It went together pretty seamlessly. Like, that is so uncreative. But the idea that they came up accidentally with a fake word, was it an accident?
Yeah. I mean, they were not saying like, hey, you know, I speak a little Tagalog and I think this could be a fun phrase that we, if they snuck it in under the radar, sorry, Malcolm, this is the best troll job in Survivor history. Yeah. But I think this was purely accidental that these happened to have these two tribes mash it up in a very certain way that it means this completely new thing. And now it also puts a hashtag in it. So it's essentially saying hashtag smoke weed is the tribe name in Survivor 29.
Which I love.
I mean, this is the accidental tattoo where they thought they were saying one thing, but it's something else. Where it's like translated in a way that they didn't understand. That's funny. But before this podcast, I never would have even, you know, when I was coming talking through the list with you, Mike, like I never would have put Huyopa because I just thought it was another lazy portmanteau, but it has this other meaning that maybe they got trolled. Maybe they shouldn't have been as lazy. I'm into it now, but I don't think worth playing for because people would need to listen to this podcast or do extra research. Oh, okay. Because I thought it was funny. Okay,
But the hashtag is so damn cringy. I understand what you mean, Sasha, and like it does really represent time. This is also when Survivor was really into their hashtags as well, that showed up on the lower third. But like, oh god, painting a hashtag on your poster, on your tribe flag. This is what you get up and say the Pledge of Survivor Allegiance to every morning. It has a freaking pound sign on it. Your hashtag Huyopa. Oh god. Drag it away with the tent that Jeff Probst bartered for the rice.
But then they get trolled on it. So that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are trolling. But either way, that's funny.
Yeah, so do you think that humor puts it out of the bottom tier, in your opinion?
Oh, yeah, that story that it accidentally means to smoke weed is hilarious to me. And that
and
is
now,
not...
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, and I think now more people will remember it after this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's ironic, actually, because Huyopa apparently means to smoke weed. And I do believe that Mike White was the one who got rid of Redemption Island for this season. So he has his fingerprints on this season in more ways than one.
There you go, a tribute. Tribute to the great Mike White.
All right, so where should it go? Where do you want to put it?
Well, I don't know. You just had such a big reaction to my suggestions, so I'm a bit reticent. I don't know. Give me a ballpark.
I mean, my ballpark is at the bottom of Ain't No Hershey Bar.
Oh, wow.
I think it gets a slight bump because of the humor behind it, but I think that on its own, sort of like we talked about with Tay Tuna, right? Like, when you do dig a little deeper, there's some fun stuff, but like really at its surface level, it's a nothing burger. And especially the fact that it's a portmanteau on top of that makes it a double nothing burger.
Hmm. Yeah, should I have to work to enjoy things? Like, you are on TV, you deliver things to me. I shouldn't have to do homework to find this funny.
Real.
I would put it above Solian too, just because I think the story bumps it for me.
What do you think, Sasha?
Yeah, I think it made my life better, right? Like, my life is better because of this.
Oh, that should be our next tier. My life is fine and my life is better.
Yeah.
All right. So, you know, pour one out, light one up for Huyopa. Something that we now all know about a tribe that maybe we didn't back in the fall of 2014. But we're moving on to something that everyone knew about. Everyone talked about. You knew when we announced this podcast. This was happening. We are jumping to the very next season, but a very different tribe name. I talked about the Pledge of Allegiance before. Please rise, folks, for America.
I feel that it's Merca, but...
I still cannot, even 5 years after the fact, I still cannot believe this was a tribe name on Survivor.
This is humiliating for you guys. Like, this is how the rest of the world sees you. You're proving a lot of stereotypes that you don't want to prove. But, okay, it's awful. Let's say that. It's horrendous. But Jordan Kalish on Twitch says merge tribe names in, you know, the list game. America's first off the board.
Yeah, it's number one on that Family Feud.
It's so memorable because it's so bad. And if we're going to talk about iconic versus best, I'm at a loss.
Yeah, it's just, it's so wild, Sasha. And I get it a little bit, right? Because this was blue collar versus white collar versus no color. The tribe colors were a little bit red, white, and blue. So, like, I could understand why they wanted to represent that. But damn you, Mike Holloway.
Yeah.
Taking away that initial A to say, we're going to call it America.
I mean, and America would also be really bad.
But at least, like, I feel like it's worse calling it America, because that at least says to me, like, they're trying to, I don't know, make it a little tribal. I mean, Shireen is all of us in that moment, right? Of like, I cannot legitimately believe, as a super fan of the show, lifelong fan, I came onto Survivor, I made the merch, which is incredible, and now I have to live on a tribe called America.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about this because, as someone that uses Merca as a very much a joke, as in, like, when something bad or very American happens, I will say this word as, like, a, when someone asks me, oh, how do you speak English so well? Like, you know, I very much will respond with, oh, Merca, you know, like, as a very, like, this is a cringe. This is what to me is cringe. That is that word. So it's number one or last for me. That's how, like, strongly I feel about it, where it's like, I can't imagine, or I can't believe that it's in the middle, especially because it's a very blue collar, you know, like, they love America and they're, like, very proud of who they are. And then the winner of the season, you know, so again, like, to me, it's first or last. I can't imagine it just being a middle.
It's last on best tribe names.
Yes.
It's first on iconic tribe names. We have called this iconic tribe names, but I can't co-sign a list that has this in the top tier.
Really?
Because it's embarrassing. Because it's just like, it's not good. It's so bad. And it also, I think, maybe sums up how a lot of people feel about a lot of those cast members.
I mean, it is very much that effect that Sasha was talking about, right? Of, like, represents maybe some of the worst that society can contain.
Yeah.
You, well, you said that. But yeah. It sums up the worst parts of the season. It's so bad, but it's so well known for being awful.
Now, is it helped or hurt by the pure ebullience that comes out of Haley Ford? She talks on and on and on about how much she loves that the tribe is called America. She says that she studies the Constitution, that is like her Bible. She talks about a tribal council when Dan Foley says flippers never win. She says, well, I want to remind you that our tribe is called America, and the country that it's based off of once flipped on some British colonists on the biggest empire in the world. What happened if they never flipped? We wouldn't be here right now calling ourselves America at the moment. does that at all help or hurt the name as that it has like such a rah-rah person as Haley Ford the entire time?
It hurts it. please. This, like, absolutely not. Like, this sounds wild. Where I'm an immigrant, I love America, but the point is, like, you are literally colonizing. Like, that is what you're doing on this. You're in another, you know, island in another country. And then you're going to be like, America is so great, better than everything. And that's what I'm going to name this. And then how are you going to say that, like, a people flipped on the British when I don't want to, you know, get into all that. But, like, there were people living here before, ma'am. Did you forget that? So that's why, to me, it hurts it because it makes you sound actually worse. And the epitome of someone that would call it Merca because of that. Because you're just ignoring a whole, millions of people were living here before that. So it's BS. Like, absolutely not.
Yeah, the hype is the problem. Yes. That it defines Americans as being like, America's the best place in the world. I'll never travel. No one else matters. Which is how a lot of people view Americans. The fact that it's playing into that stereotype with the hype that America's the best place ever, it's the equivalent of if we were to go on as Australian Survivor, go to Fiji, not even, you know, at home, and call it Australia. That's the equivalent. And the thing is, like, I don't think as Australians we'd ever do this. I think this is a uniquely American thing, and I think that's a problem. I think that's something we should try and bury.
Now, does it help that there are no pretenses? You spoke about Ratana Soliantu, right? Like, walking into someone else's home and saying, like, I'll play your game here. I'll come up with something that sounds like what you're doing.
Exotic. Yeah.
America does away with that BS. They're just like, we're going to call ourselves America because we're Americans. Again, I'll throw that out. Does that help or hurt at all? The brazenness with which they're not even going to play ball with coming up with something native or native sounding.
I think it hurts it. I think it's worse. At least the other people were trying. Like, it is offensive, but not on purpose. Whereas, like, yeah. it's like, this is like, we don't care what you think. We're going to come up with the worst tribe name in Survivor history. But again, we're in a podcast called Most Iconic Tribe Names. So I don't know what to say.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, it's good question. A lot.
That's the thing. Like, you can't put it anywhere else. I feel.
No, okay. I agree. It's the Florida of the tribes. So you either love it for Disney World and the amazing beaches in Miami, or you hate it for the swamp and the alligators. I don't know. But, or, you know, or all the other things that Google Florida man. But anyway, so what, you know, that's how I feel about Merca, and that, oh, I could see it being first also. That's why I'm struggling.
Yeah, it's
there are
tough.
Also
it's
ways that, like, they could have commemorated America better than this, I feel.
Like,
I can't
what?
Think of anything right now, but, like, I don't know, something that was, like, about stripes and stars. Like, we'll get to stars mm-hmm. later. Like, something that definitely had the energy of they love being American and they're proud of it, but maybe did weave in some cultural stuff. Like, I think that there are other ways that you can be like, America is great. I am proud of being American without it being America. That just feels like, I don't know, get the trucker hat, like, and put it on a trucker hat and make that trucker hat red. I don't like
it. God.
All right. So, I mean, listen, you gave it the Pia approach, right? It's either going to be first out or it's going to be number one. Where do we fall here? Where's it going to go? We got to find a place for this little cuddly America tribe.
Okay. This is going to be controversial. We're going to get comments about it either way. I say we all say it at the same time, and the majority is where it will go on three.
So either first or last?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. One, two, three,
last. First.
Okay.
But I want to say I hate it, but it's first. Like, I don't know if that makes sense. I feel like I went in on this one, but
yeah, no, you definitely did. Don't feel bad about it.
Well, I think we could put it up at the top here. Now, Sasha, is there some negotiating? Should we move America within this tier, or do you think it's got to be number one with a bullet?
It's so, like, it's a mess. Like, I don't, it's so, you have such strong feelings about it that I can't imagine it not being first. I don't know if that makes sense.
You can't move it around the top tier because then you're almost legitimizing its quality. Yes. It's either the most iconic, that's why it's there, or it's last. Like, if you're putting it third, now you're like, well, it's pretty good. No. It's the most iconic, but it's still terrible. And the only way we can kind of encapsulate that is by putting it in the number one spot. It has to be.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is, let's say again, this is not best tribe names. This is most iconic merged tribe names. And I agree with what you said before. Like, I think maybe it's recency bias, but this is one of the most iconic merged tribe names ever. And so I think it makes more sense at the top than it does at the bottom. I
will say that, like, if we're just going purely on most iconic, then like No Bag would be higher, for example. And we did take away points because it's not good. The scale doesn't necessarily work, but we're trying our best to kind of also assess quality to a degree. But then iconicness also, you know, becomes the main factor. And for this, it just is so iconic that it has to be first or last, and we have to put it first.
P.T. Barnum once said, right, you know, but bad publicity is good publicity. And that proves it the case here in this very podcast.
There you go.
All right, let's move in. Now, I don't think we're going to be able to, you know, top or bottom, depending on how you feel, America. But we still got a few more to wrap out the 30s here on Survivor. Thank you for sticking around this long. Or shall I say, Vinaka, which is the merged tribe name for season 33, Millennials versus Gen X, when they went back to Fiji.
Yeah, thank you for what we don't know.
Well, so there's a couple of things behind this. First, Shannon, you talk about how they say Bula when you enter the airport. The two things I remember from going to Fiji for preseason was like the two main pieces of Fijian language that you hear everyone say is Bula and Vinaka. Like, those are the two phrases that are said all the time. So it makes sense that, like, they knew this. Adam also mentioned that he wanted to name his tribe Vinaka because back in Fiji, if you remember, Earl Cole wanted to name Bula Bula Vinaka, but he got outvoted. And so Adam wanted to say, like, I want to acknowledge this is the first time Survivor has been back to Fiji since then. I want it to happen. And so Vinaka was born and, of course, was immortalized in the Chris Noble rap video.
Bula, Fiji. I could also do that one if we want to move on from Moana. no, I like it. I love what Adam brings from a fan perspective, something I talked about a lot in Winners at War, how he becomes like our avatar. And that sense of fandom is something I obviously really connect to. I think it sounds good. I think it is iconically Fiji. I definitely remember when David left and talking about the experience as he walks out the door and saying Vinaka. I think as well, I think they said that it was Orkin in 31, which was thank you.
Yeah,
thanking the fans for voting them in. But I think thank you works. Like, it's better than good, even fake good. It's like, thank you for this experience. I'm thankful just to be here. And I really like it. I'd put it high.
And that's, Sasha, that's very much like evocative of Millennials versus Gen X, right? Like, the cast didn't really seem to have a lot of drama. It was very much... that like we're excited to play the game, so it wouldn't make sense that their merch time name would be like, I'm just so happy to be
positive
here.
Yeah.
yes very much that.
So Shannon brings up a good point, though. This was not the first tribe to name a merch tribe thank you in its native language. Does that hurt Vinaka at all?
I don't think so, because I think thank you makes sense as a word to name a tribe, to be thankful for that experience. I understand that.
Yeah, and I think Adam is right enough of a super fan, like the Earl Cole, throwbacker, like really makes it, I think, to me better, if that makes sense. Even though it was a repeat, it was very much, he's not thinking more about the repeat, but more of like, oh, this is what Earl wanted it to be named.
All right.
Yeah, the fact that he's shouting out Earl as well, who definitely doesn't get enough love necessarily. It's not like he's shouting out like, the people you that necessarily come to mind. And I think that Earl has gained even more prominence in the fandom recently. And I think that that was a great person to shout out. And the original Fiji, there's a lot of fandom there.
Should he have shouted out Stephen Fishback and named the tribe Dingus?
Maybe that was the second suggestion.
So where does Vinaka fall here for you two?
I probably put it at the top of my life is fine. Like, I think it has the meaning of yin yang, but then it connects to the fandom. Like, for me, that's my culture, right? Like, my culture is survivor fandom. So there's a lot of cultural elements of that. There's also Fijian cultural elements. And I think it connects to the story. Like, Dave, when David says it when he leaves, that's a really meaningful moment. And it seeps into the story itself.
I would put it in my life is fine, but I honestly might put it last.
I was going to say, I actually think it's after No Bag, but before the other two.
I could agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think that at least like these three before, like Vinaka, honestly, maybe it's just because we spend so many seasons in Fiji, but I remember there was a merch time named Vinaka, but not specifically this season. Mm-hmm. I feel like these three seasons have that, and maybe arguably Merlonio and Barramundi have that over Vinaka. Is that like you associate those merged tribe names with that specific season. Vinaka unfortunately suffers due to the fact that we spent so many seasons in Fiji that it really could apply to any of them.
But, you know, getting on the board as a Fijian season and like a late Fiji season, I think is a credit to it. And I think of that David moment. For me, I'd always remember Vinaka as Millennial versus Gen X because of it. Maybe I'm alone in that. I don't know if it's like necessarily like an instant get on trivia, but I think the meaning of it, and I think it is quite memorable, puts it quite high. It's before Barramundi. You could
That's exactly what I was going to suggest. Do you mind if we put if we sandwich it in between the fish here, between Merlonio and Barramundi?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on here. Two more, and then we are done, folks. And you really are stars for being troopers through this. And we're going to talk about a star next because we're staying in Fiji, but we're going to Survivor David versus Goliath and the Kalo Kalo tribe, which means star. Shannon, I know that you wanted to talk about this one because this is one of those rare tribe names that actually makes its way outside of US Survivor.
Yeah, so it means star. So Australian Survivor All-Stars, also called the tribe, Kalo Kalo. And it was like only just a year after David versus Goliath. And I did not remember. I wasn't like, oh, this has been a tribe name. I was like, Kalo Kalo, okay. And then it was also David versus Goliath. So I think this one suffers from the Fiji fatigue that comes out later where it's really hard to differentiate.
Fatigue.
Yeah, I was trying. I'm glad you did that because I was like, Fiji fatigue is close enough to make a pun out of this.
Yeah, definitely trying to hill in this up, absolutely.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think that it's not its fault because it is trying to have actual meaning and it means stars and it is Fiji and like they're trying their best, but I just think it's so hard to get like real meaning and culture out of it when you've been in Fiji for 500 years and they all start to blend into each other unless you really have the story behind it like Vinaka does. So I don't think it speaks well to it that I couldn't remember it a year later when it was in a, I don't think it speaks well to it that it's so unoriginal that it was then used in a subsequent season. Maybe that's on me, but this one, I don't know for trivia if a lot of people are getting it.
What do you think, Sasha?
Yeah, I agree as well. And I definitely think it is because of probably Fiji and we're very much like, we're thinking more about David versus Goliath than we are any of the tribe names, even. Like, we're thinking more of the Davids and the Goliaths, right?
At least they didn't do, like, Dave Lyeth.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Or Govid.
Imagine if they did
Do you think that merch would sell now, like, more? Because it would be, like, funnier?
Having a Govid buff.
Yeah.
In 2018.
I feel like it could be your mask it wouldn't be good, but it would be your mask.
Yeah, I don't think you want to walk around with a mask.
No, don't.
It says COVID across it.
We got lucky. We got very, very lucky. I'm now higher on Kalo Kalo because it could have been COVID.
Oh my God.
Wow. Yeah. So it's interesting because I think it unfortunately does a benefit from the fact that it was used in Australian Survivor and much better.
Yeah,
it was for an all-star season. It would make sense that it's named Stars. If anything, you know, if this is showing whether or not production was thinking if they would do something for season 40 at the time, they're like, guys, can you not use that? Like, we're putting a hold in on it. The book's reserved at the library right now for a very special time. So please avoid Kalo Kalo.
Yeah.
All right. So that being said, where does this fall? Is it Ratchet? Is it Forget You, Go Home, Goodbye?
No, I don't think it's Ratchet at all.
All right.
Yeah, I think it's... Yeah. Yeah, agreed. I think that's where it goes.
So just right at the bottom of Ain't No Hershey Bar.
Yeah, and it's not offensive either. We'll say that. Like, it's just forgettable.
Yeah, not offensive. What a ranking.
And I think we're sort of in this tier here where, like, I'd say Huyopa, Soliantu, and Kalo Kalo are pretty forgettable for their own reasons, but I feel like Huyopa and Soliantu sort of have, like, their own quirks to it, in that Soliantu's made up, Huyopa was made up, but apparently means something accidentally, whereas Kalo Kalo doesn't really fit, but it's not as bad as Chewy Jai.
No.
All right. Govid would have beat America as number one if that was the case.
Yes, 100%. Very recency bias, like the moment of history we're in right now.
They would have been Govid 18. That's something.
Oh,
that would have happened.
My God. Or Govid 37.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
All right. Well, we've got one more to finish out. And this one is a little bit of a surprise because look. There was a lot of stuff to talk about during the Island of the Idols merge episode. One of them was not the tribe name, but it actually brings about arguably one of the sweetest things from the entire season. We're finishing off with the season 39 tribe, Lumu Waku. And so you might think like, this is just some sort of like generic crap, you know, about like a greeting. But Sasha, did you look into what it actually refers to?
Love you, miss you, really want to kiss you is what it sounds. What it is. It's the abbreviation, sorry, of that.
Mm.
Yeah. And
yeah,
that
because, so this was a secret scene, right?
Yeah, this was a secret scene at the merge because so Jack, who had recently been voted out, he had lost his father. And he always used to tell that his father, before being deployed, because his father was in the military, would always tell his kids, love you, miss you, really want to kiss you. And Jack had just been voted out. And so I think it was like Jamal and Janet said in that moment, like they wanted to commemorate Jack and his dad as well by calling the tribe, by abbreviating it and calling the tribe Lumu Waku. Again, was not shown on screen, had to be explained in a secret scene. And I think also a couple of 39ers on Twitter said it as well. Obviously, you know, definitely not the item to talk about from that week, but I wanted to bring it up because I think it's a really sweet, unifying message that I think it obviously and understandably goes unremembered over the course of that episode.
Yeah, and interestingly, so when I first looked it up, I honestly obviously can't remember the Jack and his dad's really beautiful story. So I see this and I think about, unfortunately, all the other drama that came with this season even. And I was like, really? This is what they wanted to name it? Like, that's gross. And then I actually looked it up and I was like, oh, I'm wrong. Got it. Thank God. So that really like made my heart sink, but then come back up. I do want to name
roller coaster.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I got very stressed out. I was like, this is weird production. How did you let this go through? And then yeah, I saw this saw the YouTube video of the secret scene and I was like, great, that's actually cute, sorry, you know, to myself and to whoever that I judged before. So I think it's really beautiful, and Jack and Jamal also has like such a beautiful like relationship as well, so I like that piece as well.
Yeah, I mean, pretty definitely accurate. Unfortunate that Jack had just been voted out.
Yeah,
they obviously were like planning on this the whole time. And then he goes home. So that is unfortunate. I think the fact that it can stand out in the 30s, yes, with the fatigue that we have, that it does sound cool. It does have extreme meaning. It is something I think that you'd remember much more than I'd remember pretty much anything in the late 30s. Because again, it's like, it's really hard to differentiate yourself.
Right. This is when we get like Solewa in Triple H. We have La Vida in Ghost Island, which are both portmanteaus. We get Vata in 38, which I think was just like a random Fijian word. So again, this is a little bit different.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely more memorable. I would have remembered it. It's the kind of thing where you don't have time anymore to show them creating tribe names because that's gone to the way of the secret scene, but it definitely would have made the air had A, that episode not had a lot going on in it, and B, they still showed these things, but then it has to go to the secret scene. I think it is really beautiful, a rare kind of moment of beauty in that week. If you know the story, you would remember it, but maybe not everyone did. But
yes, let's compare it then, I think, to probably the closest that Shannon was ascribing that comment to, which is Tetuna. How does it compare from that perspective? Because I think it's definitely an Ain't No Hershey Bar. I don't think it's like as prolific enough to bump it into that second tier. Where does it lie in here, in your opinion?
I would feel uncomfortable putting it super low because it is about something that is so meaningful. I mean, but then you have things like Bulla Bulla, which just are more iconic. Again, they've had more time to settle in. They aren't in that like late Fiji thing where we just don't care about merge tribe names as much, and they aren't on TV. Chiboga Mogo as well. Like, it's on the show. It has a jingle. People remember it. I'd probably put it after that just because they are more iconic, but I definitely want to like credit the meaning and the story behind it.
What do you think, Sasha?
Yeah, big agree to everything you just said, because I think it requires less of homework, and I think more people remember it. Will remember the story, I think, over Tetuna's story.
Yeah, I think that I think it's actually good that these two are next to each other, because then they both sort of fall in the same camp of like, they're not iconic, but they're good, but only good if you do the research. Right. And I think in that regard, I think Lumuwaku has more of an emotional buy than Tetuna, which has more of a cultural buy. And I think emotion maybe weighs out over culture here. So I like putting them next to each other in particular. And that's the ball game, folks. So what we're going to do is I'm going to review this list from bottom to top. And this is going to be our last opportunity to do any more last minute shuffling now that we've looked at the entire board, see if we change our minds at anything. First, let's start at the very bottom. The only merge tribe and Forget You Go Home Goodbye is Chewy Jai. How are we feeling about that?
I like that because I think it sums up how we feel about all combined names, unless they're like really good and there are a couple in there that we talked about that have like a little bit of extra things. This to me is just where we're putting that whole concept, that laziness, just don't. So that represents a lot of seasons. So I think that's good.
Yeah. I think so, too. It sort of is like oftentimes with this, we reserve Forget You Go Home Goodbye for someone who is just like a sinner in so many ways of the checklist. And it does feel, Sasha, like Chewy Jai just doesn't check any of those boxes.
Yeah, like I said, like heart, you know, together, like it's just like gibberish. And I'm not into it, especially when their tribe names are actually pretty beautiful.
All right. Moving up to Ain't No Hershey Bar, got a pretty stacked group, much like a modern Survivor merge tribe. Lots of flags going on here. Let's start from the top here. So we start with Bulla Bulla from Survivor Fiji, then Chiboga Mogo from All Stars, the recently added Lumuwaku from Island of the Idols, Tetuna from Survivor South Pacific, Hai Defung, Big Black Typhoon from Survivor China, Rattana, the exotic wood from Survivor Borneo, hashtag Huyopa, hashtag Smoke Weed from Survivor San Juan del Sur, Sacred Allegiance of the Sun, Soliantu from Survivor Marquesas, and finally, Kalo Kalo from Survivor David versus Goliath. Sasha, any thoughts looking at this tier in particular as to what should be moved around?
Yeah, do we think Chiboga Mogo should be number one in this one over Bulla Bulla? I
like what you're saying, because I think looking at Merica at the top, I think Chiboga Mogo is a more iconic tribe than Bulla Bulla. And so I think if iconicness is more so weighing out the quality, I would be fine making that slide here.
Yeah, that's cool.
Shannon, any other thoughts?
I think it makes sense to me that we have so many in this tier. Like, we wanted to separate just lazy combined names in their own tier, but there were a lot that were like, is that good? Is it kind of offensive? Do we have to do too much research to understand it? Is it kind of uncreative? Like, a lot of things had knocks against them and they ended up in this tier, and I think that makes sense.
All right, moving up to My Life is Fine from top to bottom, we've got Yin Yang from Survivor Heroes versus Villains, Jakum from Survivor Guatemala, of course the infamous No Bag from Survivor Gabon, Belonio from Survivor Redemption Island, Vinaka from Millennials versus Gen X, and finally bringing it up to the old school, Barramundi from Survivor the Australian Outback. Shannon, any nominations to swap stuff around here?
I don't think that I do. People will have comments about No Bag. But much like Gabon, it's hard to put in the rankings. So that sums it up as well. It's difficult.
Sasha?
Yeah, same for me. I think, interestingly, they could all be number one in this category and they could all be last in this category. That's why I can make a case for all of them. That's why I think this is a really perfect way of summing it.
The only thing I would possibly swap would be Jakum and Nobag, but I'm fine keeping it and being outvoted. Because again, if we're talking about like if Infamy is starting to now give things a bump, I think that much like Guatemala itself, Jakum is definitely more forgotten than Nobag.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Yeah,
throw them
that's
a Gabon.
Fine.
Yeah.
Gabon.
All right. Top five, baby. We'll go backwards here from number five to number one. Number five, Anil Edam from Survivor Karamoan, in honor of Malcolm's mother. Dabu, the troll word quite literally from Eric Reichenbach in Survivor Micronesia. Dang Rain, the edited version of an initial tribe name about the elements from Survivor Philippines. Balboa, the tribe name with so many meanings from Survivor Pearl Islands. And finally, America needs no explanation from Survivor Worlds Apart.
I do think Balboa is like the best tribe name. I think that ticks the most boxes, but I think America is the most iconic. Dang Rain is just probably maybe the funniest.
Yeah.
Dabu is maybe the most story important. And Anil Edam is the best troll. So I think we've got all the awards across.
Yeah, and I like America and Balboa as one and two, to your point, Shannon. If we're talking about, again, best versus iconic, I think Balboa is the best. I think America is the most iconic. So yeah. I think like let's have them sort of serve as the heads of state here.
Yeah, those five really fit, I think.
Yeah, I agree. They're best in category. That's the point.
They're like best in their dog categories.
Yes, exactly.
America's the best in show, I suppose.
Or the most iconic in show, rather.
And here we are. So here you are, folks. Take a screenshot if you want to, because that's a hell of a lot of flags. This is our tier list for Outplay Outlist most iconic merge tribe names. Oh, that was so much fun. That was a really great time. Shannon, Sasha, thank you both so much for coming on here, offering your thoughts about a very silly subject. You have spurted so much conversation. It's like coconut trees are growing out of the eel guts with how much conversation and fun you were able to bring here.
Yeah, what's the lesson? What is the takeaway? Merge tribes are probably still meaningless, but we spent 2.5 hours talking about them, so they better have some meaning. No, this was a lot of fun. It was worth it for COVID. Honestly, it was worth it for realizing what we missed.
Exactly. You don't know what you've got till it's gone. Well, let's go around the horn, because I know that you both have some really fantastic stuff going on in the podcast, both on and off RHAP. Sasha, let's start with you. How can people catch up with you on social media and hear all the other great stuff that you're doing?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at funsize_04. And I just released 2 weeks ago, the Asian American representation in reality TV with a fellow class of 2020er, Kevin. So go check that out if you haven't already. And just for more other like shows that I cover, follow me on Silent Podcast on YouTube.
Because you were covering the Challenge All-Stars, right? I think that ended this past week.
We're covering it on there. Yeah. And a few other shows, hopefully, we're thinking about. We'll see.
Yeah. And I really would second Sasha's recommendation of the Asian American representation in reality TV podcast that she did with Kevin. I think you did a lot of talking about Survivor, but you spoke about reality TV as a whole. I know I certainly learned a lot. I think we are in a time where a lot of us are looking to learn. And I think that the vulnerability and openness that you two brought to your experiences and as part of the Asian American community and also watching those representations, it was really, really nice to hear. So again, I really recommend if you were a fan of not just Survivor, but reality TV in general, check that out in the reality TV wrap up speed.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. It was just so fun to geek out about it. And, you know, as I always say, like, stop casting stereotypes only. Like, we're all kinds of people.
All right, Shannon, Gus, we are gearing up right now. 2.5-hour podcasts are our game at the moment, as we have just been deep in the preseason coverage for Survivor South Africa Season 8. What have we done so far, and what is to come very soon?
We've done so much, honestly, yeah. So the preseason podcasts for Survivor South Africa are almost as long as the whole season of content will be of the show. We did 4 interview podcasts where we got exclusive pregame interviews from the day before the game with this incredible cast where we would go in. It was kind of like a first one out thing. We would listen to the interview and then we would stop it to comment on it. Those were all amazing. We did Is a Look with Bryce Isaiah, which was also really fun. We have a podcast that should be out by now if you're listening to this, which was with Puya and Liana, which was like a B&B style kind of wrap up on the preseason. We played some hilarious games. We did winner picks. Some of us did winner picks. Well, you'll see when you listen to the podcast. We did superlatives. That was such a good time. Honestly, all of those podcasts were just so much fun. Highly recommend you check them out. So Survivor South Africa starts on June 3, which is now this week. If you're into it, if you want to watch, maybe hit me up on social media and I can help you out, because if you care enough to listen to 2.5 hours about merged tribe names, then you really like Survivor and you should watch Survivor South Africa, because it's a great franchise and this cast is epic. It's going to be a great season. And again, if you really like Survivor stuff, I also podcast with Taryn Armstrong, which should be out when you're listening to this, about alliance management in Survivor. So things that have meaning, that was very strategic, very different to this. That was in the game theory off-season podcast. This is a silly to that, more serious, very different. But if you like Survivor, check that out as well. That's all in the International Survivor Wrap-Up feed. And you can also find me at Shannon Gates on Instagram and Twitter, where I put all of that content out.
And of course, when the season begins on June 3rd, Shannon and I are going to be covering it every week. We're going to do a weekly recap, usually with a guest. This upcoming week, we are going to have Rob Bentley, the winner of Survivor South Africa Season 7, on to talk about the premiere of Season 8. Should be very fun. We are very lucky to be able to do exit press this season as well. And so we're going to be able to talk with the first person voted out. And so we'll do a recap and exit interview all in one. We're going to record those over the weekend. So I'd imagine at the end of the weekend or Monday, look forward to those dropping your feeds. But totally co-sign what Shannon said. I've been saying this on every Survivor podcast I've done recently. Watch Survivor South Africa. This is the first new Survivor we've gotten in almost a year, over a year. It's really well produced. This cast looks dynamite. It's going to be so much fun. Join us. Hook up with Shannon for the good. She's got you covered. But join us. You can also join all the stuff that I'm doing over on Post Show Recaps as well. I am currently covering Lost with Down the Hatch, covering the X-Files with the Bloom Files, and some other stuff in between. And then also at the time this is released, we spoke about Survivor the Australian Outback with Barramundi. I got to cover for Rob on the Patron Feedback Show for the 20th best season of Survivor as voted by the fans. I got together with Josh Lemer and Samuel Little to answer some of your questions about Survivor the Australian Outback. Check that out if you are a patron of RHAP. And then, of course, this coming week, we continue. Rob is going to be sitting this one out during his moving process, but Taryn Armstrong is filling in to talk about season number 19, I believe, which is Survivor Cook Islands with Murray Forth, Matt Scott, also covering that on the weekend as well with the Patron Feedback Show. So plenty of Survivor going on, both old and new. And we are so happy that you have joined us for yet another iteration about Wit Outplay Outlist. I know we were, you know, we hope to have Rob here, but we wanted to get another one out to begin June. Become a patron in the beginning of June as well. Patrons of RHAP get the ability to find out about what we're covering on the next Out Without Play Out List podcast and gets to nominate, what to talk about. We had a lot of patron submissions about tribe names for this one. So if that appeals to you, become a patron. Rob has a website.com/patron. You certainly will not regret it. So that's going to do it for this iteration of Outwit, Outplay, Outlets. Rob and I should be back in maybe a few weeks' time to talk about yet another silly and inane subject in Survivor history. As the off-season slowly ticks down, we still have a lot to talk about. Thank you all so much for listening. Shannon, Sasha, thank you so much for your always great input. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Support for this podcast comes from our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and it's hard work, but you know it's easy bundling with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too. You're busy enough. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today.